Joel Radio back with you. How you doing, everybody? Welcome, welcome. We're back with Joel Radio featuring Corey Hall as well. How you doing, Corey?
Hello, everybody.
Welcome, Giants fans, Patriots fans, Madonna fans. Who's more upset today, if you're a Madonna fan or a Patriots fan?
I don't think the Madonna fans have shame.
If you're a music fan, you're pretty broken up by what we saw yesterday. But we'll get into all that everything.
Oh, God, Madonna.
But you know what? Here's the thing. She'll never do that again. Right? Because don't you only maybe do it every 10 years?
No, because in 10 years, she'll need a walker.
God.
She'll break her hip trying to get up on that stage.
Yeah. What a Super Bowl halftime, huh?
They're all terrible. They're just...
Well,
oh God.
Yeah, I watched like The Who the other day, and it was not their best performance, but it's still like they were playing, you know.
You know what? That U2 one was the only one I could think of that was cool.
People liked that U2 one, and it was like after 9/11.
Paul McCartney was good because it was Paul McCartney.
But he kind of always does that, though. I mean, that's the thing, Paul. Right. You know, that's what he does.
Sure.
You know, you put him up there and he plays, and it's fine. You know.
What about Springsteen?
Springsteen was good. I think people liked Springsteen in that it was live and
it was
energetic.
The Who was dreadful.
People thought Tom Petty was boring the year he did it.
Tom Petty is boring.
Right.
Tom Petty's always been boring.
But. You know, at least he was who he was.
Tom Petty is the soul of boring. I mean, Tom Petty is the spirit of boredom. I have never found Tom Petty to be remotely interesting for a minute of my life.
Well, he's got a lot of good songs, and
yeah,
they're looking for safe stuff sort of after that.
No, and you know,
Janet Jackson thing.
I don't think Tom Petty's bad. I've just never been able to wrap my head around caring about Tom Petty in one way or the other. You know, there's some people you just don't spark with.
Well, at one point, I owned every Tom Petty CD.
Oh, did you?
I stopped getting them at a certain point, but there was a point when I
no,
bought the whole back catalog. It's fine.
It's fine stuff.
I've been to Tom Petty concerts.
It's just stuff I don't, you know, I just never, it never, you know, it was never my thing.
Right.
So it's disinteresting. Oh, but The Who was bad.
Well, The Who is great, but they were bad on the show.
They were terrible.
They kind of just got them a few years too late. Because if you want here, if you want to see,
yes,
no, let me explain.
The 1971 Super Bowl. No.
Do you want to see this? I'm not calling it this, but it's been called the greatest rock concert ever done, the greatest set in history. Is The Who at the Concert for New York City?
Okay,
which was in October of 2001.
Really,
watch that. It's on YouTube. The whole thing.
All right.
People have called that the greatest performance ever, and it's fucking awesome.
Is that better than their live at Leeds or the Isle of Man?
It's great. You got to see, if you've never seen The Who.
What is it, the Isle of Wight or the Isle of Man?
They did the Isle of Wight, I think was a big thing. I mean, the big Who live thing was live at Leeds.
Right.
And then they also did Isle of Wight was a big, The Who put out like 50 live albums, so, you know, but live at Leeds was a big seller for them. And then they did like, they did Isle of Wight. Woodstock.
I'm already passing it.
I've been into a Who kick lately, so I can talk Who.
You're on a Who kick?
I'm on a Who kick, so if you want to talk Who.
Boy, that kick never came from me either.
Who's Chris
I Ray? Came real late to the Kinks.
Yeah.
I got in a Kinks kick.
Right.
I kind of missed the boat on the Kinks a little bit, but, I mean, obviously, we were too young to have been on the boat to begin
with.
Yeah,
I've seen the Kinks live, but it was in, like, you know, 1990 or something. Right. You know, it was...
I don't know.
Not their heyday.
I think I like the real early Mod Who stuff, and then I just don't.
You don't like the 70s? Because I think the 70s stuff is the best.
I know.
Bob O'Reilly, Won't Get Fooled Again.
Tommy and
Who
all
Are
stuff.
You? Tremendous.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Yeah. But, you know, hey.
To each their own.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pete, I could do Who shit all day.
Yeah, I know.
Because, you know, if you get his, he released this.
Well, here's the thing. You've sucked every last drop of marrow. From the bones of the Beatles.
There may be some marrow left,
now,
but yeah.
Now you need to dive into somebody
else.
Well,
here's the thing with the... Well, okay, two things on the... One thing on the Beatles. There's like a three-volume biography coming out by Mark Lewisohn, who wrote the Abbey Road book and the Beatles Chronicle and stuff. And he's writing like the most in-depth biography of the Beatles.
What could
and it's
going to
be like three giant volumes. And he claims he's done, he's interviewed everybody and he's researched all kinds of stuff. So he is releasing, I think, part one of that later this year.
A lot of people are dead now.
Well, he's been researching it since that EMI book came out, since that thing came out in 92.
Okay.
So it's 20 years in the making, these biographies. And he's...
if we had about enough.
And, like, volume one is going to be, like, before, like, they get signed or something. It's going to be this, like... And that's coming out this year. And then in 2 years, volume two will come out. So there's going to be more Beatles stuff to read, I guess, at that point. And it's going to be, like, this definitive work. But anyway, let me tell you about The Who.
By the way,
about the Beatles.
Excuse me.
Let me talk about something more contemporary.
Remember how...
The Who.
Hold on. Remember how Bob Spitz had the definitive Beatles book?
Right. Well...
Before that... Okay. Every book that's about the Beatles,
but that's the difference.
Is the definitive Beatles.
But
book.
Mark Lewisohn is the definitive Beatles.
Hopefully.
He is the not. He's written the two, the three definitive
do
Beatles.
Do you hear this? Wait, hold on.
Well, I
do you hear this?
All right.
Do you hear the like five people still listening
now,
to the show turning off their fucking podcast?
You asked me a question.
What
about why is this the definitive Beatles? And I'm telling you, because Mark Lewisohn is considered, and he's worked for AppleCorp, he's worked for the Beatles directly, he's worked for EMI.
Sure,
he's done these things. He has inside knowledge. He's written like liner notes for.
So why wasn't George Martin's book the definitive Beatles book?
Because George Martin didn't do the research into all the other stuff.
All right, fine.
But anyway, Mark Lewisohn's book is coming out this year. So it's going to have Beatles stuff. Let me tell you about The Who. Just real quickly on The Who. Get okay. If you go on YouTube, you don't even have to buy these because Pete Townsend sold this box set of the Lifehouse Chronicles. Now, the Lifehouse was after Tommy, he came up with this Lifehouse, which is going to be a concept album. And what happened was Lifehouse never got finished, but a lot of the songs ended up on their next album, which was called Who's Next, which is considered the greatest Who album ever made. And that had Bob O'Reilly, Won't Get Fooled Again, Bargain.
Sure.
Going Mobile, all these great songs. Mm-hmm. It's considered the Who's best record, okay? So if you get this Lifehouse Chronicles, he has all the demos from that period.
Okay.
And you can hear him do Bob O'Reilly where he plays all the instruments and sings all the parts. And it's fucking great.
All right.
It's really, really good. It's kind of, it sounds like, it's, you know, you think that Bob O'Reilly's like the super produced rock record, and here's a guy kind of doing it on a four track. And it sounds great, and he's singing, and it's really good. So
you know who does a really good cover of that?
Who is that?
Guided by Voices.
I've never heard them.
Guided by Voices are a great live band. If you don't like
I don't know if I've ever seen them.
If you don't like their albums, right. I understand, yeah. But live, they're great.
Right.
They're a really terrific live band.
Sure.
And last time we saw them, they were smoking in the theater, which is great because no one else could smoke.
Yeah.
So they were just blatantly smoking cigarettes on stage as the audience couldn't.
Oh, well, rebels.
I know, but they're all like middle-aged guys now.
They were old guys when
but they kind of kick ass for being as old as they are.
Well,
so
does The Who.
All right, fine.
For the two guys that are still in The Who that aren't dead. But, listen to The Who demos, and Pearl Jam does Bob O'Reilly real good, if you want to look that up.
Okay.
But because I spent the other day, I did this. I was going to do this for JoelTheComic.com, and I didn't get to it, but... Mm-hmm. I spent the afternoon figuring out who was the best Who tribute band. And I have some opinions on that, but I'll save those for later. We have business to get to today.
Oh my God.
We're talking about Madonna, we're talking about
Well, I'm in the
What are you looking at?
I'm in the market for some good Beach Boys books.
Okay, I wouldn't know what the good Beach Boys book is.
Because I've read a couple and they were a little I read the Nearest Faraway Place.
Well, there's one that they based that miniseries on, and that was considered sort of the definitive one, I think.
I'd like to read a couple more because
I don't know.
One I read had 50 pages about the Wilson family farm in Kansas
before
they moved to California.
And that was boring.
And I just wanted more about the actual recording process.
Yeah.
I got a compilation of Brian Wilson's like side projects.
Okay.
Like he had a girl group that he was trying to do Phil Spector, basically.
Okay, yeah.
So that's pretty fun. That kind of stuff I love.
I don't know how many. I'm sure they've done. See, with Beatles, you can get books. Like, I have that crazy Recording the Beatles book that talks about the, you know, there's multiple pages on the Fairchild compressor and what each knob did on the Abbey Road control. And I don't know how much Beach Boys in-depth nerdy shit they get into. There are Beach Boys nerds that are into that.
There's a book called Add Some Music to Your Day. I'm looking at
it. Well, I did watch a thing recently that was, it was about Brian Wilson doing Smile Live. It's a movie. It was on Showtime or something, Stars.
Okay.
And you can get that, they talk about, you know, how they how Smile got canned, and then he had to get these people together to re-record it.
They put Smile out now.
Right, but he did a version of Smile before the Beach Boys version.
Right.
That he did it solo and took it on tour and stuff, and that was kind of interesting. And they break down the music and stuff. Because the thing is, for this movie, they didn't have the rights to the Beach Boys material, so they had to just use all the stuff that they recreated. And it sounded real good, so if you're interested in... That's something to look at.
Hey, by the way.
What's that?
Smile's overrated.
Well, I'm sure I know it is, because I watched that whole fucking movie and went like, here's a mental patient and trying to make something.
The best Beach Boys albums are obviously Pet Sounds, Today, and Sunflower.
Okay.
And then the other stuff is good, too. Right. I could get into the Beach Boys catalog.
See, don't try to up my Beatles and Who nerddom with something else. We got to talk about
Madonna. I'm telling you, my Beach Boys nerddom
is just...
Why are we talking about baby boomer fucking shit?
What? We're talking about Madonna, and you said Madonna sucked, God. I'm like, okay.
All right.
But they did these. They've run out of old man rock bands to put on there at this point.
They really. When are the Fabulous Thunderbirds getting back together for this?
They would not be big enough to do it. But
no.
I mean, I don't know who's left.
Peter Gabriel.
I mean, would they give it? Okay, let me just pitch you some things.
Joel. Pitches halftime
shows. I'm pitching
shows.
You halftime shows.
Well, look, the Black Eyed Peas did it. So
Black Eyed Peas is terrible.
Why do we need to have anybody else?
But be careful eating those cookies, dude.
I'm being careful.
not that they're going to like hurt you, but they're not. They look delicious and taste slightly less so.
That's all right. That's why they're still full.
Yeah, that's why I've had a metal tin of cookies in my house for a while.
You know what? I have 2%.
Yeah, they look better than they taste, don't they? Anyway, let me pitch you on Super Bowl.
Pitch
away, okay. How about original lineup or mostly of Guns N' Roses? Or is that too controversial?
What about Van Halen?
Okay, that was my next pitch. Because Van Halen is back together, sort of, with almost the original lineup.
Yeah, I'm going to say something shocking.
Michael Anthony is not in the
new
Van
then
Halen.
It's not Van
Halen.
Well,
but some people will say that, you know.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, then you're one of those guys that says then you don't even care about Van Halen.
Without Michael Anthony, it's not Van Halen.
They must really hate his fucking balls if they took David Lee Roth back and they're like, "Yeah, Michael, you can fuck off."
Well, Eddie and Alex are a couple of giant sized a-holes. I mean, they are those two self-involved alcoholic pricks are like carbuncles on the asshole of humanity.
I guess. I don't know what their deal is. I'm not as big into Van Halen as some people would be.
Now that's
I get the impression they're dickheads.
But
I get the impression. Well, you know, it's funny. You're reading.
I'm reading that MTV book.
Yeah.
And the history of MTV.
Yeah. It's called I Want My MTV. It's a great book. I've read it.
And the Van Halen stuff is the craziest. I mean,
did you read about the Lost Weekend?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
They had a contest winner who got to go and like hang out and party with Van Halen for a weekend. Mm-hmm. And about halfway through the weekend, they discovered he had a plate in his head.
He had a head injury.
And they had been pouring just booze and coke down his throat all weekend long.
I think he was a virgin, too, and they got him hookers.
They put him in the shower with a groupie. That's what they did, apparently. And
that's on YouTube, by the way.
Dave Lee Roth just put a funnel in this kid's mouth and was just pouring Jim Beam down there. And then halfway through, his friend like called them, their manager, and was like, he's got a steel plate. He's going to have a hemorrhage and die.
And apparently the guy is still wrecked from it.
They were like, get him the hell out of here. And they had to run the guy out of the building.
Yeah, you can see that footage on YouTube. Mm. You know where they did that at Joe Louis Arena, too. So that's what the footage is
right,
from.
Right. That was
it's from Joe Louis Arena. They looked that up because that kid just is like... Because nowadays you think, like, you do a contest, you get to hang out with your favorite band and party with them. Like, you probably see them for 3 minutes. You know, that's what you think. And then this kid wins the Van Halen contest, and they're really giving them coke.
Oh, my God.
That's the 80s, man. So, yeah, Van Halen, I don't think anyone cares about. I think Guns N' Roses, I could maybe see Guns N' Roses. I don't know.
I think Van Halen
they'd be afraid of Guns N' Roses.
Van Halen would be a big
Roses.
Deal if he did that, I think.
But I don't know that they would book Van Halen.
No.
I just don't know that Van Halen is that big.
Hmm.
Now I would say, what about Pearl Jam? But I think they're kind of dropped out of society. I don't think that they're...
They did Prince.
They did Prince, which you think would be controversial, but people have no problem with that.
They are pretty much out of big names.
They're kind of out, yeah. I mean, that's why they did Black Eyed Peas.
Well, now it's like a team effort.
No, but it was a team effort, and that's what that Janet Jackson debacle right. was. Remember, that had Kid Rock in it and a bunch of other assholes, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think that, you know, I mean, Pearl Jam certainly would have, they could come out and play their hits. It'd be fine. I mean, you know, I don't know. They're not 90 years old. They're, no. you know. no. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not the widest of appeal there. I mean, do you have to get into, like, Stevie Wonder? Is that, like, a classic act that would be good?
What about Vanilla Ice? Because I know...
okay.
Vanilla Ice did the halftime show
at the
Pistons game
the
other
Pistons
day.
Game, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well...
That's how it works.
I know him a little bit, and I like that guy. So I you know...
Rob Van Winkle.
I'm not sure that, you know... That's Super Bowl worthy, but you
how
know.
About a Lover Boy reunion? What about would that be a big?
I'm not sure. What about? I'm really thinking here. What about like a David Copperfield halftime show? That's kind of what it was. You know, the halftime show wasn't always like a rock concert.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be sort of Broadway. Do you remember what it was when they played the Super? You actually didn't live here, I think, when they played Super Bowl at the Silverdome. Do you remember who the halftime show was?
No. That was like, what, 82?
Detroit Trivia, yeah. It was Up With People.
Oh, Jesus. Well, when we were kids, that was just dreadful.
I mean, yeah. Well, I remember there was the Elvis from Outer Space in 3D. I was in high school for that one. That must have been 88 or 89. It's like, that was the halftime show. So at some point, it became more upscale, the halftime show. Because when you think of a college halftime show, you get, like, majorettes and, like, a marching band.
Yeah.
So,
well, it is what the Super Bowl halftime used to be. Some guy would come down in a jetpack. Here he comes in his jetpack. Yeah. Whoop-de-doo, here comes George Jetson.
All right.
And then you'd have, like, a color guard of, like,
exactly.
Marines. And then you'd have, like, maybe Tammy Wynette would sing something.
Uh-huh.
And then... You'd get Up With People.
Right? Yeah, you'd get, yeah. like, yeah.
You'd get, like, a bunch of college kids in, like, sequin outfits.
Right. And Snoopy would hold hands with kids and walk them through the 50-yard
right,
line. And
right,
that was the,
sure.
That was the halftime.
If you were lucky, you got Donnie and Marie. You know, that right. was, like, as good as it
yeah.
got.
But now it's a...
now it's a production
now
number.
It's a whole
now
rock and roll
Madonna's
thing.
Out there showing her 54-year-old cooch.
Yeah, she's
and whipping
she was,
it into...
I mean, she didn't sing at all, which, you know, I mean, I guess when you never sing live... Not singing's not a big deal.
When she whipped out the pom poms, did you seriously? We were like,
yeah, that was. I have the whole Super Bowl on the DVR.
I was
if you
watching
want to
it with
it.
I was watching with the guys from my fantasy football league, and we like they were like, she's a senior citizen. she broke the pom poms. I'm like, is she gonna do? Mickey?
Mickey,
excuse me.
Right. Well, her new single is kind of Mickey anyway.
Is she going to break out Oh Mickey?
Yeah.
And you, literally, you're like, this woman, seriously, she could have had two girls in high school by now.
I think she has a 17-year-old
So she's breaking out pom-poms? Can we
yeah.
She's in that MTV book,
uh-huh.
The great stuff about Madonna in there is that she, like, apparently she was dating this video producer, and she, like, when he was out of town, she changed his answering machine message. And was like, if you're a guy, leave a message after a beep. If you're a girl, why don't you go eat a big pile of garbage and fuck yourself? So, yeah.
She sounds like she knew what she wanted.
Yeah. It was very evident that she was on a mission.
Yeah.
But.
But here's the other thing Madonna does that annoys me is, like, whoever's hot, she just gets them.
Yeah. Wasn't it like, LMFAO?
Yeah, it was LMFAO and then Nicki Minaj and MIA. And what? MIA gave the finger to the camera. And everyone's all upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's no talent anyway. That's not hurting her career because that can only help.
MIA?
Yeah, she said she had one novelty single. And
Here's next time's halftime show.
What's that?
Lana Del Rey.
Can Bon Iver play with her? And then...
That was dreadful.
Yeah, that wasn't good either. If you want to talk about,
let's get that clip.
You know, it's funny that the Super Bowl halftime show was better than the entire SNL for 90 minutes.
That SNL was so brutal. Do we want to? Let's get through the Super Bowl and then I'll get into this.
Channing
SNL.
Tatum's going to take his shirt off in the next sketch.
Please.
All right. Well, listen. At Super Bowl, okay.
Joel's got a checklist.
Show. Why don't we talk about the game like a couple of men with a pair of balls? Why don't we talk about some X's and O's, some tackling?
Okay.
Let's talk about some special teams play. Let's talk about...
Because no one really gives a shit. There's an entire cottage industry devoted to this.
We actually like football, and when they play the Super Bowl, I actually do care about the game, unlike most people.
Oh, I try. So, you know what, though? They don't even do – I was watching NFL Network, and it was like Michael Irvin and Mooch playing slap and tickle because Mooch put on a breath strip before he talked to Madonna. And they were all laughing at him, and it was like – there was okay.
The game gets overshadowed. It does.
Two front-running super teams from East Coast megacities competed. Who gives a shit?
What?
New York and Boston can sink into the ocean, you pieces of garbage. Who wants that? I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
Of course they do.
Eli's coming out of the shadow of his brother Peyton.
You know, theoretically, you know, I guess what it is he's just the horrible crucible of Super Bowl hype.
Yeah.
The incessant whirring sound of lips flapping. Mm-hmm. The Skip Baylesses.
No.
The whole worldwide. You can't even near MTV. You need
ESPN, you're saying.
ESPN, excuse me. ESPN is like a war zone. It's like Sarajevo in the 90s. You just can't go near it. You can't get around it near the Super Bowl.
Well,
I had their Tebow worship was enough.
Yeah, the day Tebow showed up in Indianapolis was dire. See, we liked the Super Bowl when it was in Detroit, though. We went down there, had fun. It was all right.
Yeah, it was fun to be when the event is in your town.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was in Indianapolis, and I'm not going there. So, you know.
Well, here the problem with it, is that there is too much hype, and it does overshadow the game. And if they just did the game, it wouldn't even matter too much. Like, it would be fine, but they nothing can kind of live up to that hype. So even this game, which people are saying, well, this ending was great, and the ending was cool. With, you know, the Giants, Belichick letting the Giants score, and then, Brady trying to
I will give credit right now to Roger Stry, who called that.
Oh, letting him score?
He and I think Steve said, part the seas and let him score.
Yeah.
And Lord almighty, they did.
Yeah.
And was it Jacobs or Bradshaw? Whoever it was confused.
Bradshaw.
Was confused.
He tried to stop.
That they were letting him through. He tried to stop and fell on his butt.
He had momentum.
And
he
was
down.
Confused that the Patriots weren't even going to touch him.
Well, Belichick would have been a genius if that would have worked. If that strategy would have worked, it would have been good. And then they throw the Hail Mary. So it ended on the last play. But there weren't a lot of big plays in this game. There was no, like, interception return for a touchdown or anything.
Or big bombs.
Anything. There wasn't anything. Like, that Manningham catch was real good on the sideline. But that was really the only offensive highlight in
that
sense.
You know what
you
got? You got two well-matched teams who play reasonable game plans. Mm-hmm. And play good defense. The Patriots defense, not as good.
Corey, three punts inside the 10 by the Giants.
Yeah.
Three punts inside the 10. Now, that's special teams.
Well, that's true. But, you know what I mean?
You didn't
get anything.
That was the story of the game, was position.
You didn't get anything crazy. You didn't get any wacky plays or flea flickers or anything wacky or nuts. You got very conservative.
They did a double reverse.
There was one.
Didn't go nowhere. Yeah, it was.
It was a close game, but it didn't feel like a thriller.
It wasn't. It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't like some of like the Lions games. Even this year, were better football games than that. Where remember Lions would come back like when we beat the Cowboys and Dallas and Minnesota at home.
I think with having the Lions in the playoffs, I was even less enthused about the Super Bowl because you'd kind of just spent all of your emotional involvement on the Lions losing.
Well, sometimes it's worth deciding when the Lions are out of it in October.
Yeah,
and
you're
going, okay, well, let's...
Then you start thinking about the Super Bowl. So
then you start picking a favorite for the playoff run. So
good.
Okay.
The Giants win, and that's their second in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots didn't get their fourth. Whoop-dee shit. I mean, you know...
It would have been their... Well, it was their fifth time playing, so they're 3-2 in the Belichick-Brady era.
But their fourth with Brady.
It was fifth with... Well, it was their fifth go.
Yeah.
But they won three.
Right.
And they've lost four. Anyway, okay. We want to talk about commercials. Can we get into
these? Oh, God.
Did you find a website with all the commercials? Because I just wrote down some stuff that
hold on.
Thought was... Because if you don't, it's okay. I mean...
It won't be hard to pull that up. But here's the new development on the Super Bowl halftime huffing butt bar. The whole thing. The whole mess.
Yeah.
Why are we watching the commercials prior to the Super Bowl?
That I have a big problem with. I completely agree.
That is the trend this year. And they were like, hey, let's see these commercials early. Look at a sneak preview.
Yeah, they put them on.
Of a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
Let me ask this.
Yeah.
What moron wants to watch the commercials before the Super Bowl.
Because it's about the people with the products want to get their, you know, they're getting free spins, essentially.
I understand that. I get why Pepsi or American Express or anybody wants to get their commercials out early. Mm-hmm. But why are you spending $1 million a set?
Right, then just release the commercial.
Just put the commercial on the web.
Yeah,
why even pay the Super Bowl?
Yeah, why pay the Super Bowl?
If I was NBC, I would be livid that they were leaking the Super Bowl.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. Yeah.
I would be just goddamned outraged. Mm-hmm. I would, because also, first of all, we got to have everything immediately in this culture. We have to have everything right now.
I have a theory on why NBC owns.
Yeah.
Well, I did see that, like, the Today Show all week was running them.
We get
exclusive. So maybe they were getting exclusive, the NBC family or whatever.
What a bunch of shit.
Synergy, Corey.
Oh, my God.
Corporate synergy.
Now, what was their ad? What was Synergy's ad?
I don't know what the Synergy is. Well, here's I mean, what was the... I don't even know what the best one was. Okay. The French Bulldog put on Skechers and beat the Greyhounds. I think people like that one. People like that fat dog for Volkswagen that couldn't get through the door.
I don't even know if I saw that
one. No, that was the one where he lost a bunch of weight and he gets through the door and he jumps out and chases the Volkswagen. And then they cut to the cantina. Do you not know this?
Oh, the cantina from Star Wars.
But that was at the end of the fat dog commercial.
Oh.
It was not its own commercial.
You're right.
The cantina thing was part of the fat dog.
Now I remember. Yeah.
And then the guy. And I don't know if they got the same actor to be that guy, but it looked real good. You know.
Yeah.
I'm wanted on 5 systems, that guy. Because they had him talk.
It did look good.
Yeah, they did a good job of actually doing that. And then
was there supposed to be a trailer for Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah, it was after the national anthem or something.
Oh, I must have been
in
the bathroom.
It was very, very early.
I must have been in the bathroom.
Yeah, that came on. And that movie looks as annoying as anything else he's ever done. So there you go. There you go. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh.
Yeah, that was, what's the name of that? The Dictator, I think? Is that what it's called?
Allegedly based on the romance novels of Saddam Hussein. That's the.
I haven't heard that, but the movie, the trailer is marginally funny, but.
Yeah.
My girlfriend was watching that. She's like, I didn't realize that was a movie. I thought that was him just doing a wacky sketch on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's nope. They expect you to pay $12 for that. So, but anyway.
I know you were excited about that brand new GoDaddy commercial. Boy, that nothing fires you up like a GoDaddy.com commercial. Joel, that is a straight old train to sexy town right there, huh?
The GoDaddy ads have been remarkably consistent since they came out in 2006 or whatever.
They have.
They've been remarkably.
They have been remarkably dreadful.
They have been horrible since day one. Well, they've been low rent and trashy.
This one,
yeah,
had something different. Told this one.
What is what? What was
had
this
something new?
Man, that was
the Pussycat Dolls.
It was the new Pussycat Dolls. We don't even know what that
don't
is.
Don't you try and deny the Pussycat Dolls to me?
Come on.
Would you,
Corey, when you think of hot broads, don't you think of Danica Patrick and
that's
Julian
what
Michaels?
I think. No, I.
Doesn't that make you want to beat your knee right now?
There would hardly be skin left on my cock. My dick would feel like a tire on an Indy car.
I'm kind of going like, do they even like men? That's what I'm watching. I'm like, are they supposed to be appealing to us?
If I got a chance to just get a shot at that Danica Patrick, I would. I mean, I spank it so hard. They got to have a pit crew come in and reskin my dick. It's really, it's like a.
Right.
The friction burns.
Well, Jillian Michaels had to leave Biggest Loser because there were opportunities out there. Like GoDaddy commercials. What the fuck is she doing?
It's the worst.
Who's giving her career
advice?
And then
they go, oh, it's so scandalous, this GoDaddy commercial. Let's go click the one online. Then you click the one online, and it's the same fucking thing.
I didn't even see the one online.
There's not a goddamn shred of difference.
I've avoided going online to look for GoDaddy stuff.
There's not even a nip slip, okay?
Yeah.
Give me a nip slip. Give me a oops, a pokey.
Right.
Give me, you just, Danica Patrick, just one nip pops briefly out of the side. Give me an areola. Give me a butt crack.
Yeah.
Give me some. No.
Anything.
It's the same goddamn garbage.
You're not going to see full penetration. Like,
That's
watch Danica take it in all holes at GoDaddy.com.
Hey, I would register 3 domains today if that's what it was, you just click and it's Danica Patrick with Kyle Busch's cock in her mouth. Just
Danica works the glory hole only at GoDaddy.com.
You know what she's doing? She's drinking out of that indie milk jug, but it's not milk. You know what I'm saying? She's just drinking right out of it.
That's right. Jillian Michaels, get Bukkake. See the rest at GoDaddy.com.
What do they think people are going to go?
I don't know.
They're
what.
Uncensored online.
Okay, let's make
unrated.
A list. I'm going to make a list. I'll start and you go. Mm-hmm. Name a celebrity female who is more attractive than either Danica Patrick or Jillian Michaels. And we'll do this till 3 weeks from Thursday. Could they not right, get anyone?
Right. Mayim Bialik. Let me start there. All right, can we go?
Is Tara Reid unemployed? Yeah, I mean, like, who are they getting?
Tara Reid.
Think about who they get to be sex symbols. Christ. You know what I mean? Like,
Danica
there's
Patrick.
Nobody that needs
well, say, she's hot for a race car driver. That's the problem. Danica Patrick is very hot for a race car driver.
Okay.
That's like in comedy.
Okay.
You know how the women in comedy are on a different scale?
Yeah. Well, Carmen Electra is very busy making French films over in Europe, making a lot of critically acclaimed. Maybe she's in theater. Is she on Broadway right now? What is she doing exactly? Yeah.
Is
she working?
Is Ava Mendez too good for this shit?
I mean, like, what? I mean, is there not, like, a girl? Is there not some WWE diva who they fire?
You know who hates money? Brooklyn Decker. She hates money.
I mean, like, what are they thinking?
Right.
They're like, we're going to get these women who nobody thinks are sexy.
Because no one else would do that.
No, I don't know that.
No one else would drag their
Lindsay
name.
Lindsay Lohan.
Their yeah.
We'll do. I mean, come on.
Well, look, she got a big fish on the hook right now, but Stacey Keibler, you couldn't get her to do this?
That's what I mean.
I'd go watch a GoDaddy commercial with Stephanie McMahon in a thong.
I mean, it's.
Before Danica Patrick.
It's dreadful. It's just, I mean, who they pick to be their sex, I mean.
Betty White?
Yeah,
what, I mean, somebody?
Somebody legs.
Maybe there's, someone with some
there's
legs.
Nobody, like Adriana Lima was in a couple commercials, and that's even a little played out, but, you know, whatever. For middle America,
hey,
that's your hot chick, that's fine. You
I
take
got a,
that.
I got a go whore ahead. Who's got nothing to do but take Twitter pictures all day.
Yeah.
Adrian Curry,
perfect.
Get her right in there.
She's doing nothing.
She is the GoDaddy spokesmodel. And she'll do.
Yeah.
I mean, you go click.
Sarah Jean Underwood. What's she doing?
Nah, she's on G4. Yeah, come on.
Okay. But GoDaddy's a step up from G4. I mean, the G4 is worse than GoDaddy. Don't get me wrong. Okay. I'm making a prediction right now. Olivia Munn will be the new spokesman for GoDaddy. We figured it out.
No, get Adrian.
We perfectly hit it.
Because Adrian Curry will like.
Yeah, I know. She'll do anything.
You click on the uncensored GoDaddy links.
Yeah.
And she'll put the.
Yeah, absolutely.
She'll get the big, giant, you know, 2 foot long
right.
silver penetrator with the GoDaddy logo
yeah,
on the
exactly.
side of it. And you'll just see it going sliding in and out of her cunt.
They'll
just
attach
watch
that,
it.
Attach that to the hood of Kyle Busch's car and drive it right into Adrian Curry.
How do they have this? How about Danica Patrick drives a go-kart with a giant dildo on the front end of it right into Adrian Curry.
Were you with me at the strip club? Were you with me? I don't think you were there for that.
No.
We went over to Windsor Strip Club, and they have the feature dancer.
Uh-huh.
She has a bunch of gimmicks, and she had the RC car with the dildo. And, you know, if you tipped her, they'd give you the remote, and she'd spread her legs on stage, and you could drive the RC car right on the stage.
I'm telling you.
Right into her.
Danica Patrick drives the little go-kart right up in there.
I've seen that in person. Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, the GoDaddy cannot get a hot chick to endorse their product. Like, what are they? I mean, it's so bad.
GoDaddy. They're so scandalous. That's like the Family Feud, where they're selling...
Right.
They're selling sex without giving you really anything.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's the, we're so raunchy and racy and outrageous.
But apparently NBC won't turn stuff down. I mean, I guess there's probably a line that they'll draw and say, hey, you can't do this on the
They
Super
ran
Bowl,
that Groupon ad where they were like, remember the last year where Timothy Hutton was like,
yeah,
you know, the people of Tibet are suffering, but they make a great, they make an outrageous fish curry. You got to try it.
Yeah, that was an
We got a Groupon ad.
That was an odd.
It was just the stupidest thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that the other thing people have said about the Super Bowl commercials, and I guess I noticed it too, is that there weren't a lot of new products or services or things to really get excited about. There was Bud Light Platinum.
How stupid
was
that?
It was just like, who cares?
That's great. They're embossing they're embossing the silver bottle of Bud Light Platinum.
I mean.
For, you know what? For the connoisseur beer drinker out there.
Right.
You know, the guy who likes Bud Light. Mm-hmm. He's ready to take it to the next
level. That's right. For classy night. For date night.
Right.
Like, if you want if you only have $6 and you still want to be classy,
like, honestly,
get the six pack of Bud Light.
Seriously, you other than a mullet, a wife beater, and like 11 illegitimate children, is there any clearer way to say I'm a fucking toothless redneck than to get a Bud Light Blood Light Platinum? Because like people who like beer aren't going to drink Budweiser. There's no, you know what I mean?
Well, you might like Bud. I don't know. I don't know that Budweiser's that bad, but it's just, it appeals, the idea of Budweiser is that it appeals to everyone.
Right.
So to make some higher level
We're
going to
put a snob factor on top of Budweiser?
Because they think that Samuel Adams has that snob factor, and they're trying to cut into their margin. And they're saying, oh, this guy is, Guinness or one of these products that is considered a higher tier product. Well, now Bud
Here's the problem, though. The people that really like high quality premium beers are drinking, you know, Shorts or some boutique little label.
I don't know. I mean,
Samuel Smith's oatmeal
stout. Wasn't MGD that? Wasn't that the idea?
Franziskaner.
When they did it. MGD.
It's stupid.
That High Life was for hillbillies, but you get your MGD, and that was the high class beer. And now look who's drinking MGDs.
You know what's great though?
Yeah.
They come out of the same funnel.
Exactly. They literally do.
It's like there's two hoses running out of the same barrel.
Right.
And they're like, here's your MGD, and here's your MGD.
Yeah.
Your
it's like literally like put a splash of water in the High Life and send that out, and then it's really no different.
It's the same crap.
But it's. You know, part of the reason people drink the beers they drink is what's on the label. Or if they think it's boutique, they'll buy it. You know what I mean? It's all marketing. You know what I mean? You know, just not about beer, but I know how long I had to walk through the pharmacy the other day because my girlfriend wouldn't buy one-a-day vitamins. They were generic one-a-days because there was another brand that had a little flower on it. Mm-hmm. And that looked natural to her. And she wouldn't buy the one-a-day generic vitamins for like $8. She needed to buy the vitamins with the flower on the package.
Instead of buying vitamins, here's what I'm going to do. You got a lighter?
What are you going to do? Burn
I'm going to set money on fire.
Exactly.
Vitamins are the stupidest waste of money.
She actually, her doctor told her to take vitamin D there's a blood test that women have to take. And if they're lacking in vitamin D, their bones get brittle or something. So they make you take a supplement.
So you can't drink some milk?
Corey, I'm just telling you the story. Listen, we'll do your holistic healthcare segment that is a favorite around here.
No.
But her doctor told her to get vitamin D. I'm just telling you the story, but it's just women are dumb. Like, if you wanted to take the vitamin D, why not just take
something
the $6 one versus the $8 one, but a lot of that is just about what the appeal to you is that, I don't want to put chemicals in my body. I want to take the natural vitamin.
You should.
Here's my thing.
You should be. Jay Leno should take some vitamins because all Jay Leno's eaten for the last 20 years is cheeseburger. Like he won't have a vegetable.
Right. Well, there's people there's people in situations that could use vitamins because you can get scurvy and you can get rickets and shit like that. But you have to really eat a restricted, you have to kind of be living in a puddle of mud or something. You have to be like Africa.
I'd say the average adult who is not retarded and has a regular diet and eats, a mix of food sources probably doesn't need vitamins.
Because they stick vitamins and stuff like cereal anyway in milk.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call that? What's the name of that process? There's some name they give it where they're fortified,
enriched.
They fortify things with vitamins. Anyway, enough about beer. Let me just quickly what I wrote down commercial wise. I said the French Bulldog was funny. He beat the Greyhounds. I mean, that was all right. The Coca-Cola Bears was just. Was that supposed to be a Giants bear and a Patriots bear?
And
then, when the Giants were losing, the Giants bear was mad.
I'll be honest.
I'm not sure if they were trying to do that on the fly. I'm not sure what they were doing.
Here's the problem with that. I've seen that so many
times. Yeah, yeah.
That when that commercial came on.
But it seemed like the Bears were watching a game, and it looked like one bear. They didn't have any NFL logos, but one of them had sort of Patriots colors. One of them had Giants colors. It was very confusing, but anyway.
I saw polar bears, and I went, good night. I don't care. I've seen this before.
I want to get into the movie things. We'll wait for that.
The Bud Light Platinum. I'm still thinking about how stupid the Bud Light Platinum is.
Yeah, it's
they're engraving the side of the bottle.
That's the thing. It's the bottle is getting. We'll get some Bud Light Platinum in here.
You're a toothless yokel.
Yeah,
if you like
much.
Bud Light Platinum.
The dog ate the cat and bribed the guy with Doritos.
Okay.
Now that's one of those where they say, "Hey, make a Doritos commercial." You see that on Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
Where guys make these Doritos commercials. Well, that was one a guy made and sent it in. So I thought it was a little controversial to have the dog eat the cat. They didn't show the dog eating the cat, but it was inferred.
These are so stupid. These commercials are so stupid.
That was the premise.
How about the one where the grandma put the infant in the
right.
In the slingshot
same
and
thing.
Shot him at the kid to get the Doritos?
Yeah, that's another one of those. It was made by a fan or something.
It's great. By the way, it says do not attempt.
Do not attempt.
In the middle. Yeah. Like, because you know some fucking somewhere, somewhere. And
I'm going to launch the baby.
I don't want to cast aspersions about a region of the United States of America. But let's call a theoretical place. Let's call it Huntsville, Alabama, where their morons are grown. There's going to be some. Hey, man, we got some of that electrical. We got some of that surgical tubing.
Yeah.
Come on, bring Junior over here. Let's see if he can fly. Come on. Someone will launch their child in a slingshot. You know they'll do it.
And then the kid will have to reach.
I'm going to get them Doritos.
Yeah. Couple other things.
That was the dumb. That commercial, I sat slack-jawed, and how stupid that commercial
was. Well, that was the other. If you didn't see the dog eating the cat thing.
That was the other one.
That was their other Doritos that won the big ad. So every jerk off on Facebook who made a Doritos commercial, that's all you had to do was be funnier than those, and you couldn't do it. Okay.
I
wanted to talk about Seinfeld for Acura, but.
Seinfeld. Get him. Yeah. Get him.
Well, Seinfeld does this thing for the Acura, and. You know, Seinfeld wants to be the first guy in line for the Acura NSX. I guess that's the new sports car. First of all, doesn't Seinfeld own 50 Porsches? Isn't that his whole? Doesn't he own a building in the island of Manhattan where he stores his Porsches exclusively?
Yeah. I have a Tucker.
I don't even think he does.
I bought a Tucker.
That's Leno that buys. And then Leno's at the end of this commercial. Mm. But I'm like, I thought Jerry's a Porsche guy, and now he's running around doing Acura commercials. So I found that strange. And by the way, Jerry. When Jerry did those American Express ads with Superman, remember years ago he was trying to buy something and Superman was there. He was in the post office and used his American Express card. Like, I think Jerry wrote those and, you know, produced them and stuff. And boy, if he wrote this, I would run for the hills.
We should put a link to some of these because they're so bad.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you can find them. They're not hard to find. Bobby Farrelly made that that Samsung commercial with the guy from The Darkness. You know the one with the slate? I think it's called.
That was fairly entertaining.
But yeah, that's Bobby. Some of these do have big names attached to them. So, but people say
there was a lot of Hyundai commercials.
Yeah, well, they're
and who's buying that?
I don't know.
Hyundai.
Well, my girlfriend owns a Kia, which is the same thing. I think it's the same.
They're both from Korea.
But I even think it's the same company at the end of the day.
Okay, right.
That makes them. They're separate brands, and it's actually okay. But again, like, it's what's the I mean,
I know Hyundai.
Hyundai.
How much money do you think Hyundai spent to try and get a sliver of market share?
But isn't the idea that, like, they show you this car and they show how great it is and they make you want it. And then they go, by the way, it's a Hyundai. And you're like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I was going to.
They really. Yeah.
I thought that was the new Ford or the new.
It's like putting
it's not the new Toyota, huh?
It's like putting a tiny turd pellet on top of a Sunday.
But that's why they make you, they make you get that Hyundai. And if you go and if you price out the Hyundai, they'll tell you, well, you know, you can get the Toyota Corolla, but, you know, our car gets better miles per gallon and it's got, you know, more horsepower and it's got more luxury features and it's got a better warranty.
And I'm still going to buy the Toyota.
And people don't buy, you know, and they want you, that's what their appeal is.
So, they're going to still buy the Ford.
I don't know. My girlfriend's car is nice. I like my girlfriend's
Kia.
I still ain't buying one. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's a brand that has
no
appeal.
I think
Hyundai are for people who don't care about cars.
well, I've known a lot of, like, dumb girls will get, like, the cheapest car they can buy.
Ergo,
and that,
people who don't care about cars.
That's true, yeah.
How about the Audi commercial with the vampires and the headlights?
That was all right. It was well done.
Yeah, so are they implying that their headlights are made of, there's tiny micro suns that are in each bulb?
I guess they, They probably work at a color temperature that is more conducive to seeing at night.
They're actual, and they actually have replicated the solar energy
because
in these headlamps.
You know, my headlights.
Now, the question I had.
What I want to do is I want to take my perfectly good car that runs well and replace the entire thing so I can get a car with better headlights. That's the theory there. But
well, it seemed like a weird thing to sort of pitch.
Right. It's a weird thing to pitch headlights. But now,
and it was funny when the vampire himself got out of the car and caught fire. But I was thinking, wouldn't it have been funny if. But I know he's in jail, so you can't do it.
What's that?
If Blade popped out of the car.
Oh, it was Wesley in jail?
Yeah.
I know he did tax evasion time. I think did they finally get him?
I don't know if he's still in the stir.
Did they finally get him like at the end of the year or something? They got him.
I don't know if he's still doing his thing. But anyway. I'm like, if you got headlamps that burn zombies, that burn vampires, that's some Blade. Blade needs that technology.
Weren't they doing, but they were kind of being all Twilight.
I think they were ripped
The
Twilight.
Kids were all Twilight-y and emo.
Okay, here's a commercial made no sense.
What's that?
Elton John for Pepsi. What the fuck was
Elton
that
Elton John is the queen. We all know that.
Well, we know that.
I don't even know. Was that girl singing supposed to be somebody we're supposed to know?
It could be.
That's what I didn't know. I couldn't figure out. Like, they even kept cutting to like the women on the court, and I'm like, are they supposed to be celebrities? You know, like some commercials they'll have like a celebrity just sitting there, like for Nike and stuff. They'll just have celebrities in that crowd, and you're like, oh, okay. But I couldn't even tell.
Here's the problem, though, is that now people who are allegedly quote unquote celebrities, quote unquote. Are people that are on American Idol or X Factor or America's Got Talent.
Think about how many of them were on the show last night.
Yeah.
Between, you know, halftime.
Kelly Clarkson.
I mean, Kelly Clarkson was there. The Voice. How much tie-in to the Super Bowl did they do with that last night?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tons. They were everywhere.
Or they're people from reality programs that are now considered celebrities. Right. So they have these people.
You have to know who the housewives are.
Right. I don't.
I don't either.
I will not.
But you will, because there's one of them's on The Apprentice. And you're going to watch that garbage. It starts in 2 weeks.
Here's what
That was another commercial on there.
Yeah, no, I'll be watching The Apprentice.
You will.
Well, look, Adam Carolla and Penn Jillette are on
there. They are, and I like those guys.
I do like those guys.
I like those guys.
Carolla, I listen to his show a lot, and I'm a little worn down.
Right.
He's exasperating. But
no, I like Adam, and I like Penn.
I want to see Arsenio, because that...
Right. Dee Snider might be good.
We'll get into
George
this.
George Takei might be good, but I'm not watching.
I'm getting into the boss of that show later on.
All right.
But Elton John, that was... I know women are watching the Super Bowl, too, and you got to give them something.
Sure.
But good God. The only part of that was accurate was that when they threw him into the dungeon, Flavor was there. So, I mean, because...
Like, when you go to jail, there's a scary blood.
Well, in olden times, they would have immediately, if they'd seen Flavor Flav,
they'd throw him right in the moat.
They would have thrown him in the moat, let's be honest. But in the dungeon as well.
Right, Elton going to jail might not be that bad for him. Anyway... Howard Stern for America's Got Talent, which I thought was a funny commercial.
I thought it was very funny to look at Howard's wig. I thought that was very funny.
See, you know, Howard was on Letterman the other day.
Which I missed, unfortunately.
Well, nowadays you haven't really missed anything. Right. You can watch it if you want. But, you know, people were saying, now he did get his teeth fixed. And I'm guessing this has something maybe to do with that he's going on America's Got Talent, but his teeth look too big and too white for me. That's just my opinion.
You know who else
Howard very well. I've followed him for 20 goddamn years.
You know who else looked too big and too white?
Who's that?
The Patriots.
Okay, but you know what?
Wes Welker. We're going to...
Rob Gronkowski? That's not...
You know what I like about
you're not a fan of that?
The Patriots, we're going to win with a white running back and a white receiver.
Receivers.
White tight ends.
Wasn't there one of their DBs, like Edelman? Wasn't he a wide receiver? He's a white guy.
No, it's Boston.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's the Celtics.
Look, Deion Branch is a good one for one of them, you know?
Yeah.
We'll have a white everybody.
But Howard, I like that commercial. I like that.
You know, it was funny with him.
They didn't really show him spraying the little girl. They sort of inferred it, but. It was good.
It was funny enough. Hopefully Howard will live up to that and actually be a...
No.
His wig looked terrible, though.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I was on some Howard Stern forum, which is amazing that... This is why the internet is full of dickheads. There's a whole forum, more than one, for Howard. It's about... It's Howard Stern. Now, the Stern Fan Network, and then there was some other one I found.
Right. The Stern Fan Network, by the way, is so awash in haters.
Right. That I went on this and I'm like, who is a fan of, like, it's
there's
literally,
no fans
there's
on
not
there.
One no, person who thought Howard was, you know, looked good or anything.
There's like, here's what it is. You'll get like 3 out of 70 on the Stern Fan Network.
Yeah.
Like Howard.
Right.
And it's just a horrible
But some people will think he's funny and yet just dump on his hair and say he's wearing a wig and then his teeth.
What cracks me up on that show is somebody will like Robin and hate everybody else on the show, or like Howard and hate everyone else on the show.
I mean, I still listen, but, you know, this guy's a big phony now, but I still listen.
Hasn't that always been the Stern
that
Show?
That is, yeah. It went bad, yeah.
The Stern Show went bad about the day it started.
He was good on NBC, Corey.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when he went over to K-Rock, it was no good.
No.
But
when he was on NBC, guys go, you know, Howard was funnier in Hartford. He was when he was on in Detroit.
Howard was good on K-Rock, but now he's on Sirius. Yeah. He's no good. You know, yeah, there's always
No, let's be honest. That phenomenon, it was always better than.
Yeah.
Is that applies to anybody? Okay,
go see Midnight in Paris. Right. It's the whole movie.
Exactly,
it's the whole movie of Midnight. In Paris.
Guys, go! But that happens for any artist of any kind. Yeah. You go. Well, look, you know, you think the Ramones were good. You should have seen them. I saw them play in the Bowery. There's always some guy that goes, well, the Beatles in the Cavern. You never got better than the Beatles in the Cavern.
That was the real Beatles, I believe.
Right. When they were drunk
Once
and could barely play their instruments.
Brian Epstein got a hold of them, it changed everything.
George knew 2 chords and they could barely play.
If you didn't see the Beatles in Hamburg, you really didn't see the real
Beatles. That's the real Beatles. There's always a couple,
you know,
cockney fucks that come out and go,
Best really had the Mersey sound. It was about the bass drum.
The Mersey beat.
And that's what Pete did. It was about the bass drum locking in with the bass. And without Pete Best, the Beatles lost their Mersey sound.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's guys who were...
You know, I saw Bruce Springsteen play a bar mitzvah in Ashbury Park, New Jersey in 1968.
Right.
Never been better than that.
Yeah, right.
Bruce, no. Thunder Road, Born to Run, forget it. I saw him in 68 play a bar mitzvah.
I saw him at the Stone Pony.
Right.
With Southside Johnny on harmonica.
But that's the shit it always
is. In 1972.
No, granted.
Now that was real music.
Now granted, you and I have stories about seeing people like the Strokes and fucking...
We saw lots of people before they were big.
Those guys, Kings of Leon.
Oh, the Kings of Leon, before anyone knew who they were.
I got a dozen stories about bands that I saw play for 20, 30 people.
Yeah.
And everybody's got that. But... Enough already.
Well, the Kings of Leon are still good. I don't have a problem with them. But again,
I'm just saying,
we did see them before. Yeah.
Stop. Everybody out there, stop your inside trading about how everything was better than all this. Now, you could make an argument back to Stern. You could make an argument that there was a golden age of the Stern Show.
Right.
And that there were times that were better. I miss Artie personally.
Yeah.
I think Artie was better.
Artie was a better sidekick than some of these other.
Although I actually think that the Billy West era might have been the best era.
Okay.
Howard Stern
with Jackie and
it's always somebody on that.
Right.
Stern,
I mean,
seems to attract that more than anybody else.
Yeah.
The guy's been on the air for 35, 40 years.
Yeah.
And he's always having to deal with, you were better back then.
But that's at least you have the fans to care.
Uh huh.
That you were better back then, you know, there's always, at least you have that.
Unlike us.
Well, I mean, but you know, well, sort of, but I mean, you know, like you're going to go, I'm sure we were better when we had.
You know, right now there's someone going, I preferred when you did Jerk Off Home Companion because that helped me select erotic films.
Yeah,
that
we haven't done.
I was unaware of erotica until you told me about Cheerleaders That Love Come, Volume 7. Yeah, that was your best work.
Those days are behind us, Corey. Moving on. Moving upward to show. All right, let's talk about
Speaking of porn, how about that naked M&M, huh?
Oh, Jesus. But again, you know, that's a campaign.
It's another campaign.
Feel like they haven't done new campaigns.
No.
You know, like remember, Corey, let's go back in time to the day after the Super Bowl. I don't know what year it might have been, 1998, when everyone was going, what's up? That didn't happen this year. There's nothing that caught on.
What's up?
All right, please stop with that. To turn your
the best was up was the when somebody cut it to the Super Friends and they had like Batman answering the phone.
But that see, that was a cultural phenomenon.
Right. Uh-huh.
And that doesn't happen now. It's there's too much. I honestly feel like with Twitter
I think they're too
and Facebook that like even this, we're doing this Super Bowl rundown less than 24 hours after the show ended, and it's already old news. Like the way the media moves now at a speed.
You know, the one
the popular consciousness of people.
The one I did like was I liked the MetLife one that had all the cartoon characters from
okay,
the
that 80s. Was all right, because we like those, you know.
I was like, oh, it's Voltron. Oh, look
we
at
like
that.
Those commercials. We like those old cartoons. Right. So
that
was cool
fine,
yeah.
But not exactly memorable.
I liked that somebody had to figure out the scale of like Voltron and the Grape Ape and then
right.
who was bigger and who was smaller. Like somewhere there was a boardroom going, no!
No. Droopy Dog is taller than Snoopy.
Exactly. Somehow they had to figure that all out, which I thought was cool.
That was good. But yeah, you're right. Although we did not get this year, we did not get like a Clydesdale. Nobody lit the fart of a Clydesdale.
No, that was a year when there was, yeah.
That year.
That might have been the Janet Jackson year because everyone said how crude it was.
That was the year when it was.
A lot of fart commercials.
It was just
and,
guys getting hit in the balls.
Yeah, yeah. That's
it
true.
It was like a Jackass right. episode. Yeah. It was just people.
Wasn't there one where like a guy got electrocuted off a ladder that right. year or something? And it was like, yeah, this world was mean.
Oh, no, hold on, Joel.
What
I'm
you
looking
got?
At the commercial. Hold on.
Four.
Who do you think, the MetLife commercial, who do you think is taller? what do you think is taller, Jabberjaw or Grape
Ape? You know what? Grape Ape was, I think, the second biggest guy, right?
Yeah, Voltron's the tallest.
Voltron
yeah.
was the tallest,
yeah.
and
yeah,
then Grape Ape.
Boy, but then you get into like who's taller, Mr. Sherman or you know, Mr.
yeah.
Mr. Peabody or Top Cat?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, that's a fucking.
So there was that.
You gotta get into those
there,
questions.
Anyway. All right, let's talk about the movies that they should. Well, to me, the big movie trailer. For me, now I know for you it was Avengers, and we'll talk about Avengers.
McGilla Gorilla is a little undersized.
Okay, McGilla Gorilla is undersized.
I think
Grape
he's a gorilla.
Yeah,
you think he'd be bigger? All right. Yeah, anyway, okay.
The Battleship trailer was the craziest goddamn. Because it's funny, you know, people were like, "Well, how do you make a movie out of Battleship?"
Uh-huh.
And you know, they had put out a teaser for that like months ago,
right?
And it was literally just a bunch of guys on a ship,
mm-hmm.
and then this turns into like robots attacking
well,
us.
Well.
And they were like, oh, we didn't know that, like, people didn't realize,
first of all,
it was going to have that sci-fi wrinkle.
It made no sense.
It makes no sense. Well, what makes sense? You know what I mean? Transformers doesn't make any sense,
no.
but, you know, people love that.
No, but you know what? This is even less sensical.
I understand.
And okay, Independence Day.
It doesn't look good, but to me, it was like, they took a terrible concept.
Yeah,
and they made it into a terrible movie that people are going to spend money on.
I could not be more excited about Battleship. It's going to be on my calendar as a red.
Well, they got Liam
day.
Neeson is in it, and
yeah.
you know they got some people to act. And
well, they didn't. No, Liam Neeson probably did a day on it and showed up for a half hour.
He runs the right? Battleship.
Yeah, no, but
I don't know.
The only connection I could tell to the board game,
yeah.
was that the alien ships shot these little. Grenade like magnetic grenades that looked like the pegs,
the white pegs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you see that shot?
You know what? I only watched it once.
There's like
but...
one shot in the trailer where the side of the boat gets hit with these magnetic grenades
yeah.
that attach and look like the pegs.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I could tell.
I mean, you know, Transformers was a property that you know somebody I don't know if it was Hasbro, if it was the same people
yeah.
that owned Battleship.
I think that's
and
what's going
so
on.
They
now.
Said, "Hey, license this, license that."
No, that's what's going on now. Candyland is now getting licensed with
Adam
Sandler.
Adam Sandler, yeah.
We were playing the game with that last
really?
Night. Because after that Battleship trailer, the guys
right.
I was hanging out with, that's all we could talk about.
Oh.
Was like, boy, that Chutes and Ladders movie, it's going to be Katherine Heigl. She's the ladder. And
Reese Witherspoon has ants in her pants.
Right. It's a buddy cop movie called Chutes and Ladders.
Here it is.
And...
It's Don't Break the yeah, Ice with Ice Tea and Ice Cube.
See, Dennis Rodman is Ladders because he's tall. See, and then you've got Kim Kardashian is Chutes.
No.
And then Chutes and Ladders, and they team up.
Eddie Griffin in Tiddlywinks.
I think at one point, I think I said that they should do a Stratego movie with Brendan Fraser and The Rock as opposing generals and have them fight each
well,
other.
Well, him and Bruce Willis are doing G.I. Joe 2, though.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
Right, you could have...
But that, that's the reboot, right? The G.I. Joe? There's no canon there, is there?
I don't know.
On G.I. Joe?
Well, they just did a G.I. Joe movie a couple years
right, but
ago.
But I mean, this is G.I. Joe 2, though.
Right.
But I mean, like, why is... Like, whoever was the star of that's not the star of this. That's what I mean.
Channing Tatum was in that.
Right, but it's The Rock and Bruce Willis now. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about G.I. Joe, anything. I know nothing.
They're different characters.
About G.I. Joe. But I'm saying, like, could they, you know G.I. Joe, like, yeah, well, the original.
G.I. Joe, okay.
Could they make a G.I. Joe movie that wouldn't be the G.I. Like, I don't know what the G.I. Joe movie was. I don't know what the G.I. Joe cartoon was. I don't know anything.
I don't know. Let me see if the G.I. Right. Let me look up G.I. Joe 2's cast, and I'll see. I'll tell you who's returning.
So you know the first G.I. Joe movie.
Well, here's the deal, though. Bruce Willis and The Rock are playing different characters.
Right, but they're in G.I. But, like,
I mean, Okay. G.I. Joe's a big team.
I understand that.
And so it's a
there's
property.
New members of the team.
It's a property based on a toy.
Right.
So what they would do on the cartoon is every year when the new toys came out, they'd go, hey, we need a guy who can... We need Shipwreck. He's a sailor. We need... you know, we need...
All right, so they would... So they were sort of like, I don't know, the Hall of Justice or something. The Super Friends.
The Super Friends had a limited number of
guys. But they could...
G.I. Joe, because they were always putting out new toys. They're like, hey, what if we... There's Jinx. She's a red
ninja. We'll find out if the old G.I. Joe guys are out and the new G.I. And those are the new... Because my feeling is that nobody liked that G.I. Joe movie. And I didn't see it, but I'm guessing that people generally didn't care for that.
It did all right financially. Right, it was not screened for critics.
But again, you know, Battleship...
Channing Tatum's in it.
Okay, so all right. But the commercial featured The Rock and...
I think Bruce Willis and The Rock are the new additions.
Okay, so it's like the Expendables. They're going to just keep throwing guys in.
Yes. And for nerds out there, yes, Dwayne Johnson is playing Roadblock.
Oh!
Who I believe... Now, if Ving Rhames ever was called for a part...
Yeah, that would be him.
In the cartoon, he's a big, bald black guy.
Yeah.
Or Michael Clark Duncan would have been, I thought, the obvious pick. But, all right, we'll go with The Rock.
Well, The Rock's probably got a little better Q factor than the...
Yeah,
guys,
a little, little than the... Yeah.
All right.
It looks like a lot of the same guys from the old...
G.I.
Joe. Ray Park was in the first one, but he was Snake Eyes, so he's under a mask, so you don't... You know what I mean? You wouldn't know he was back. Yeah, but Channing Tatum's in it. And,
Ray Park.
You know what? It might be one of the... They might do one of those deals where Channing Tatum goes, he's Duke, and he shows up for like...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Hey, guys! I can't come on this mission with you, but enjoy. Go get him.
It'll be like,
you know what I mean?
Like a screen with a grainy video thing of Channing Tatum shedding.
Well, I hurt my ankle in training, so you guys are going to have to fight Cobra without me. I'm sorry.
It was like, who was the guy that did that? Anthony, what's his name? In Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Oh, right. Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards. Like, he shows up like, oh, I broke my leg, guys. I'd love to go to spring break with you.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, then the movie goes on.
For cameo, for a minute.
Yeah, Robert Carradine and the rest of them go down. But, all right.
Oh, come on. Channing Tatum's not such a big star.
Right, Channing Tatum.
Can't do another G.I. Joe movie.
Do you want to talk about SNL?
Oh,
not yet. Avengers, what did you think of the Avengers trailer? I mean, there's been a few, and it kind of looks like what it looks like.
Yeah, I don't need to see any more. I'm good.
But you're ready for it. You don't need any
I'm
more
sold.
Hype.
Looks good.
Yeah, I mean...
It's Joss Whedon. That's the at the end of the day, that's what sells the Avengers movie more than anything else.
Right.
Is that it's a director that has done good things that you can expect something.
People are saying that it is not going to be as good as some of the other movies, like Captain America, where you just had one guy, or Iron Man, because they're not going to be able to spend enough time with one character to really make you give a shit.
Presumably, they're thinking you went and saw Thor and Captain America, so they don't have to spend the time setting them up again.
Yeah, maybe.
Which, when they set people up all the time in these superhero movies, that does become tedious. Where you got to go.
Oh yeah,
you get the backstory over and over.
Well, Iron Man 2 did that, and it was annoying because you were kind of like, you couldn't watch the movie because everywhere you were looking for Captain America's shield and all of those tie-ins. And then there was, you know,
there's always nerd.
There was the tie-in to Tony Stark's dad was in Captain America.
There's always nerd butter. They always put that in there.
But that got... I thought that was annoying in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, they made
that
it,
there was a little too much of
they
setting
made it
up.
Too much of pointing it
out. Yeah, well, they did at the end of Captain America. They did that crazy twist.
Yeah,
where he's in present day, and you're like, how do they do this? And
well, that's
how they're making the Avengers movie.
That's how it's always been done. But in Captain America, they threaded him in such a way. You're right. They had Iron Man's dad, which was obvious.
Yeah, Iron Man's dad was.
But they threaded him in a way that you could if you were a nerd, you could pick up on him without having to devote time. When they stop and go, look at this detail. Well, this is an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. You'll meet later.
When they brought Samuel L. Jackson and you know, But they even did that going back to Hulk, where Tony Stark showed up in that Hulk. Norton Hulk.
But he's been trying to build the Avengers movie for the last 4 years with this. So.
Yeah. you know what it's going to do as good as those did. And it, you know, it may do better, but it's got to be. If it's not a great movie, it's only there's a baseline for those.
That is,
and it's only going to hit that, and it's not going to do any more.
That is the problem with the Avengers movie. Yeah. Is it going to do well? Sure.
Yeah.
Is it going to do Avatar money? No.
Probably not. If it's not, if it's great, it might.
Right.
But only if it's great, and if it's not great, it's not going to do that.
So that's the problem. I don't have any worries that it's going to make, you know, $100 million or a couple $100 million.
Yeah.
But is it going to make $500 million or $600 million?
You know, you never know what's going to make
$500 million. I don't know about that.
Right, because people thought Avatar, when that came out, that looked like a giant, you know, Titanic. They were like, this is the biggest waste of money anyone's ever made. And then it went on and made $1 billion.
Yeah.
And now they're like,
So we'll see in the Avengers. You know? But it looks good. There was nothing in that it was embarrassing.
No, there was nothing in it that, you know.
There was nothing silly.
It looked like you expected it to look.
Yeah. And you seen the. There you go. Remember the Ghost Rider? Well, the new Ghost Rider trailer.
Oh, jeez. Oh, fuck.
But you know what I mean? You look at those and you go, well, that looks dumb.
Yeah, you just go, who's watching that?
You didn't see anything in the Avengers. You went, that looks dumb.
Yeah.
You went, that looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that's that worked.
Yeah. And I don't know what other movies they had. Act of Valor, which I'm seeing tomorrow. Are you going tomorrow?
I'm going to something else tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing that. Have you seen it? No.
No.
Okay, I'm seeing that tomorrow.
I don't think they're going to screen that for us.
Well, there might be a good reason. That might be awful.
Well, that's the one that is starring real Navy SEALs.
But it's not. They're not doing real stuff. Right. Like, I mean, I was watching that trailer and I was like, okay, I'm kind of with you. And then I'm like, you're not doing real stuff. So what's the point? And it's coming out in February. That one's scaring me a little bit.
Well, anything that comes out in February.
But it seems like. This hasn't been that bad a time for movies, though.
Apparently, Chronicle was good. Everybody said that was
Chronicle
good.
Chronicle was good.
I didn't see it. Didn't see anything last week. I took the week off, except for Journey to the Mysterious Island, because I need to see everything The Rock is in, apparently. That is my curse. That's my burden in life. Other people have cancer or, you know, they have a leg iron. They have a tether.
Yeah.
Some people are struggling with the divorce right now. Uh-huh. No, my burden is I have to see every movie The Rock is in.
Well, you see,
don't underwrite my burden.
Is he bulletproof? Is he like? Is there nothing? Does he have pictures of executives in compromising positions, or does he reach a point where this next one, if it's bad, he's done, and then he makes a hit? Like where does his?
I think Katherine Heigl just hit that point.
Yeah, where she needs the hit and it's over
because she's begging to go back to Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, right.
She
like this movie that's coming out is bad. Right. Her
okay.
Movie.
J-Lo took American Idol because
it was over.
That career was not moving.
Yeah, her movies dried up. Rock's been making bad movies for a long time, though.
I think Rock has made just enough money. Here's what The Rock has done, and this is a very...
I'm going to look up Rock's career.
Look up Rock's career box office.
Well, I want to just pull up the movies just for the quality sake, because I know he... has hits, but it's just, you know.
I'm on it already, dude.
Well,
let me tell you.
Come on, somebody's got to talk. So you talk.
Well, the thing with Dwayne Johnson is I've met him a couple times interviewing him. He seems to be a real easy guy to get along with.
Okay, but
and I think they feel like, well, we need a black guy. He's half black.
He's almost there, yeah.
Right? He's a half black.
Yeah.
So he's not even full scary black.
All right.
So he's not Don Cheadle colored. And we can
well,
get it.
Okay, I'm going to give you start. Let's start with him in... Okay, he did... I know what he did. See, the problem is they put all this wrestling stuff in here as acting credits. Like, when
well,
he did WrestleMania,
is.
They... Okay, here's what Rock did. He did Scorpion King while he was still wrestling. Now, that was the sequel, a semi-sequel to The Mummy, which was a big hit. I think he was in one of The Mummies.
Is his career path to be in movies that Brendan Fraser started?
Well, exactly.
Is he in Brendan Fraser's series?
Was he not in The Mummy? I'm trying to see if he was in The Mummy. God, they just have all this wrestling stuff in here, so it's...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so let's say he does Scorpion King as his first... Okay, he was in The Mummy Returns. Okay. And, you know, as Matthias the Scorpion King. Then they made a Scorpion King movie, he was the star. No, I think that did okay, all right? For whatever that cost, which probably wasn't too much, that did okay. Then he made The Rundown, which people liked, right? We can all agree on that. That was a critical and commercial success, okay? So then he does The Rundown. Then Walking Tall. Probably a bomb on both counts, right?
Walking
no good and no one wins,
right?
Let me
tell you a two-second story about Walking Tall.
Okay.
Walking Tall... When we were at the screening, former Detroit Free Press film critic Terry Lawson who was a funny guy,
yeah,
got up to go to the bathroom. It was like, you know, we're in the middle. There's a, you know, we've been in an action sequence for about 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
We're winding down them. You know, we're in the later half of the movie, but we've only been maybe 10 minutes of action scene.
Okay.
So Terry goes, I'm going to run to the bathroom. Gets up, runs to the bathroom, comes back. The credits are rolling. The ending of that movie
just ended.
It just, like, they didn't even have like
they ran out of film.
They didn't even have like a coda
yeah.
where they were like, you know, they went back home and everybody right. was happy. He just he finally confronts the big bad guy, who is Tate Donovan, I think, and shoots him in the face and then roll credits.
That was it.
And Terry comes back to the bathroom like, what the fuck, man? And I'm like, yeah, it's over.
Yeah. Okay, so then I'll give you this next movie. Okay. Then Be Cool, which was a dud.
Yeah.
The people said he was good in that, but the movie bombed. Okay, so now we're at two bombs. Mm-hmm. Southland Tales. Isn't that
one of the epic failures of all time.
Epic failures, okay. Oh. So that bad. Gridiron Gang. Did that make money? It was a kid's movie, so maybe that helped him because it was a kid's movie. I can get the gross for that. Okay. So then you're into, okay.
Well, he made money with Fast and the Furious 5.
Okay, but I know, but I'm trying to his plot fault. His career. So Gridiron Gang made, I'm trying to get the grosses.
God, you got to go back a while.
It grossed $38 million and it cost $30 million, according to IMDb. So that was good. Okay, then he made, then he made The Game Plan.
Hold on, Joel. You're forgetting his role in Reno 911.
Well, I'm not counting cameos and stuff. Yeah, I see that there. Okay. So, okay, but then The Game Plan was a big hit. This is where he was the quarterback who had the 8-year-old mm-hmm. daughter he didn't know about.
That was a hit?
That movie made $90 million. Okay, so now you're at a hit. So you had, how many bombs in a row was that? I'm trying to count. It was Be Cool, Walking Tall, Be Cool. Because I'm saying at some number, don't you? Mm. Okay. But then he goes into Get Smart, but he's kind of the guest. He's like, third lead?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay.
He's not the lead. Right.
He's not the lead, but that does well. So now he's got a couple hits.
Did Get Smart do well? Because they didn't do a sequel.
I'm guessing it made back what it cost. It grossed $130 and it cost $80. So that's a hit.
That's right? Funny. They didn't do a sequel.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't big enough ahead.
Okay, Race to Witch Mountain, dud, right? We'll all agree on that.
I don't see it being
okay.
good.
No, okay. Then he did Planet 51. He was just a voice, but I think he was the lead voice of whatever that was. That was some garbage animation shit. Planet 51. Well, it made $105 million. Who am I to talk?
I think the guy makes enough money.
I don't know.
What did Tooth Fairy do?
That's his next starring role, Tooth Fairy. It cost $48 million and made $60 million. So he's
modest. He's having modest success.
Okay, Why Did I Get Married Too? But he's only listed as Patricia's coworker.
He's not.
So that's like a cameo. The Other Guys. Now that was a hit, but again, he's third lead in that.
Other Guys, by the way, he's in.
Made $119 million.
Not to spoil it, but he and Sam Jackson are in the movie for 6 minutes
in Other Guys. Okay, but he was on the poster or whatever, right? Or he's in the trailer.
Yeah, but it's basically,
it wasn't his movie.
It's a glorified cameo. Okay.
Now, what is Faster?
That is a
piece of shit.
That's a piece of shit.
Billy Bob Thornton and him. Okay, it made $23 million. So maybe you're at bomb. Did I forget Doom? I forgot Doom. Okay, this is 2005.
Where was Doom?
Doom 2005 cost $60 million to make. Only made $28 million. Has a 5.1 out of 10 from the fans on IMDb.
Oh, he's been in some real shit show.
Right, so I'm trying to, but I'm going like, at what point? Okay, and then we're into Fast Five, which was a big hit and people liked.
But you can't really.
Made $626 million.
But you can't really credit him with much of that because it's a.
It would have made movie anyway.
It's the fifth entry. It's the fifth one in a series.
Vin Diesel and the other guy.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a sprinkle on top of the cupcake. You know, people went, you know, I've never seen Vin Diesel and The Rock spit at each other in a homoerotic showdown.
But this Journey 2, is that making anything?
No.
So that's, I mean, I mean, I know he's doing WrestleMania this year, so maybe he's starting to see that.
Look how many movies he's got in pre-production.
Yeah, I know. That's what's frightening. But that doesn't mean they're all getting made.
But it seems like they're ramping up another six movies.
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson is just
Is he?
I think sometimes in Hollywood they go, well, we got this guy, he'll work.
Right, but at some point,
good enough.
But don't you become Van Damme at some point where you're just in so much garbage?
You know what it is?
They just don't even offer you the A-list movie?
I think that American-born action stars
that
can read a line and deliver a joke are a kind of a rare commodity. Yeah,
he's not Steven Seagal.
Because then you get guys who aren't American, like Sam Worthington, who... That guy is the worst cardboard piece of garbage. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Well, they keep putting him in stuff.
That flavorless box of cookies has more talent than has more appeal than that Sam Worthington.
And they keep putting
him in stuff.
The flavorless box is completely upset.
Because they need someone to have someone in an action movie.
Have some action.
And I think The Rock, they go, well, he's big as a house, so he can do stunt scenes, and he's goofy. He can do a joke.
By the way, does this movie have anything to do with the journey to the center of the earth, or is it just a whole new movie?
It is related in that Jules Verne wrote books with the titles Journey to the Center of the Earth and The Mysterious Island.
Oh.
Unless, you know what, in fairness, I have to go back and rewatch the Brendan Fraser Journey to the Center of the Earth.
You get on that right now.
To make sure, you know what I'm saying? There may be some kind of connection that I'm not aware of.
Cancel your weekend plans and get that Brendan Fraser movie and go, honey, I'd love to go take you out tonight, but, you know, I need to figure out the connections between the rocks.
That's our Valentine's Day.
Yeah, there you go, sweetheart. I rented this Brendan Fraser movie for you.
Shit.
Okay.
Garbage.
All right. So Rock is successful. We're saying that.
But no, you're right. Some guys they get like a couple chances and then
they go.
Good night,
that's
Irene.
That's enough of you.
But him,
that's enough.
Vin Diesel's about pushed his.
Vin Diesel was a guy that
Fast
they kept putting in stuff.
Is keeping him alive.
And then he was dead. And then they put him back in that. And now I don't know.
Okay,
if he
Michelle Rodriguez. Goodbye, your
I guess.
Career.
I mean,
you know what's funny? I think actresses get burned out quicker.
Oh,
than
I think
actors.
They do too.
And that's not. Yeah. It's not really fair.
No,
but they burn out actresses quicker.
Hey, I didn't give you a pussy when you were born. Don't blame me.
Look here.
Don't get mad at me.
All right,
it's not my fault.
I'm just saying.
I know what you mean.
It's pretty obvious that
with women they have a shorter lifespan.
Yeah.
Unless they're Meryl Streep.
Uh-huh.
See, if you're ugly when you start. Women can maintain.
What
but
about,
when you start out cute, but you have to be.
Here's a career I'd like someone to explain to me.
Sure.
Kate Beckinsale.
Still good.
Wasn't she supposed to be a good actress, though?
Well,
and she's in the worst.
Exactly. She was coming out. She did Sense and Sensibility and all that garbage. Mm-hmm. And then I think she started doing those Underworld movies. And
you know, I think Michelle Williams could have done a bunch of action movies.
She probably turned them all down.
And then, but she like picked the career of an actress.
Yeah.
And Kate Beckinsale could have had the
she could have been
the nominated award category, but she's like, let me put on a lycra suit that goes right up to my camel toe and
Van Helsing.
Kick a werewolf in the face.
Yeah.
That's what she decided to do.
That's, you know, she made that pass.
That was her career move.
Well, you know, I think it works, but you know, look at Angelina Jolie. She did Tomb Raider and that was a big hit for her.
Right. You either get to a leverage point. Jolie got to the point where she can make Salt and it can bomb and no one cares.
Right.
Because she's a big star. Hey, you want to talk about bombs? Look at that career.
Well, I don't know. Where is it? But here's the thing with her is she is still, maybe the difference is that she is a big star outside of the movies. Meaning that she sells magazines and stuff where Beckinsale doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because she's popular in that way, she can leverage her movies.
Well, I mean, Kate Beckinsale's been in good movies.
Exactly.
Unlike The Rock.
She probably
who's never been.
Can act circles around an Angelina Jolie, even if you really
probably,
put them to the test.
Jolie did a couple things that were good.
Right.
She's but you know, okay. I mean, Dwayne Johnson is never been even sniffed a film that you would call.
Right.
Good.
But I mean, you know. I mean, I just want to know when does that happen? When do they go, that's enough of you?
Tell me if this makes any sense.
What's that?
Let's look at the film slate of Kate Beckinsale. Van Helsing.
Right, which was
Underworld, followed by Van Helsing.
Okay, so she's moved into action.
Then Underworld Evolution is after that. What's in the middle of those two?
I have no idea.
The Aviator.
The Aviator.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah,
she does garbage. Oh, Scorsese movie.
Yeah. Well,
she'll, you know what I mean? Yeah. She'll bounce around a little bit and do different stuff. Oh, and then Click with Adam Sandler was after The Aviator. So, you know, I mean, she's really moves around. I like Kate Beckinsale.
Right.
She's actually, like, Vacancy, I thought was really...
I think she's good.
Did you see Vacancy?
I didn't see Vacancy.
I thought that was an above-average horror
movie. I've seen
movie
her in good stuff. I don't know.
Because
she and
Luke Wilson were good in it.
Okay.
But,
no, maybe I have... Is that the one where they make the snuff film?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen Vacancy. I have. I didn't see the other movie. I didn't see Identity, which was sort of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vacancy I saw. Now, Vacancy was good.
But anyway, she's got I think she started out doing more
prestigious
stuff.
Like Cold Comfort Farm or something, right? Some Miramax stuff.
Yeah.
Some English.
Cold Comfort Farm.
Yeah, I know my movies.
No, yeah, Much Ado About Nothing.
Much Ado About Nothing. She was like doing costume dramas.
Yeah, she was doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then... That one, and then
well,
she did. Oh, she did.
But she made about $50 for those fucking costume dramas.
Emma.
Yeah. See.
And then she did Pearl Harbor, and that was her big.
That was the entree.
I'm going to be in.
Was her Kate Winslet. She was the new Kate Winslet. Happened with that.
No, she. But she ended up. She ended up not being the new Kate Winslet.
She's the new Kate Winslet, Corin. I will not hear from you.
She's the new pile of garbage.
She was.
Oh.
Well, but Pearl Harbor was just Titanic on. Right? I mean, wasn't that the idea with that?
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Oh, Michael Bay.
Oh.
Oh.
And then, meanwhile, then Red Tails comes out.
Okay.
And the big star, the big actor in that movie is Cuba Gooding.
Cuba.
Right?
Cuba.
Is he the biggest name in the movie? Right?
Well, he won an Oscar for it. He's a huge talent.
This is what I'm saying with The Rock. I think Hollywood's decided, look, we only need like 5 black actors.
Yeah.
All right?
When
the Jews that control media,
right?
When the 22 Jews that run all of show business, get in a room together and they all get they all order in Reubens. You know what I mean? They get some pastrami.
Don't be racist.
Some Knishes.
But talk about the 2 dozen Jews that run.
Yeah.
Try not to be racist.
Well, what it is? There's this.
When you're talking.
What it is underneath.
Yeah.
Temple's Beth Shalom in. Actually, under Sinai Hospital, under Cedar Sinai,
okay,
there's a secret room, and Spielberg. Spielberg's got a watch,
yeah,
and he hits it, and an alarm goes off,
yeah,
and it's like a bat signal, and they all go, "We must run to Spielberg."
Let's go,
and then they make the decisions in Hollywood.
Harvey,
and then they go,
Harvey,
right,
David, Jeffrey,
they all come in,
run to the bunker.
It's like Kiss and the Phantom of the Park. Like their little logos light up, and they all respond to the trouble alarm.
Well, that's what they do with those. That's what they do with all them holidays.
Right,
they go and they meet.
That's when they're having their meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. You wonder where
they guess
go.
What? There's no Sukkot.
Right.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah.
What
nonsense.
Does that mean?
They just made that up for the goys to fool them while they're plotting it all out. So anyway, what happens is they have these meetings and they go, I don't know, Geffen, what do you think? We got enough plaques?
Yeah,
we don't need to hire anymore. Give Cuba another movie.
Well, you know, they...
They're like, what? We got Don Cheadle? Why would we need another?
Now, I remember... I didn't see that movie and I don't even know... Was that something that's like been in the works forever, though?
Yeah, Lucas has been...
But I don't know when the principal photography was on that. But
well, I think...
It might have been a long time ago.
I think that's a project that bounced around.
Yeah.
Lucas has wanted to do it for a long
time.
Right,
right.
Here's what amazes me. Lucas came out and said, I couldn't get it made because it was an all-black cast.
Yeah.
And there's probably, sadly, a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
Okay.
And you'd think... George Lucas can make whatever he wants because he obviously didn't he do the Radioland murders and Lucas has done some nonsense that he just put out because it was George Lucas produced it, but they were like I couldn't get money to do this
because
it's an all black cast.
I got people believe that there was these planets with aliens running around and guys with light laser swords, but black guys flying planes, no one's gonna buy.
They're right. That's how wrong is that.
I'm going to have a little green man who can swing a sword around and kill people.
Yes,
but
he got to put Jar Jar in 3,000 theaters.
Yeah.
But he tells an actual story of something that happened.
No.
It's an actual story.
Not interested.
Of heroic soldiers that served the country.
Yep.
And they're like, yep, too many blacks.
Yeah, can't do it. No. All right, let's go on to... Now, speaking of commercials, I guess we can...
Oh, God, I forgot we were talking about the Super Bowl.
This is still our Super Bowl rundown. Believe it or not, folks. So I auditioned for a commercial the other day. So
and,
can I tell you?
And here's what happened.
Well, I'm guessing I didn't get it because I'm going to bag on it.
You know
it
who
right
was
now?
Behind the other wall?
Spielberg.
The Jews that run Show Business. We're all behind the invisible. They were all behind the black.
Well, they're
glass.
Like, hey, look, here's Joel.
Yeah.
We'll take Joel. Come on, Joel. Yeah, you're one
Joel?
Of us. Come on in. And then
they look at your last name
and they go, what is this? What is this?
Joel.
You're not one of us.
Oh, he's one of us. What do you think? And then Fragamani.
Oh, my God. What kind of abomination is that?
I kid.
All right, so this anyway.
I kid now. I'm making jokes.
Maybe I should change my name.
Joel Hirschblatt.
Exactly.
By the way, Joel, I had this happen, okay?
What's
there was
that?
A funeral in my family.
Oh, terrible.
Last week. Yeah, he was one of my mom's cousins.
Okay.
And a great guy. He was a teacher, and some of the students came and spoke. And
okay.
It was a great and moving funeral. You know, I went there to show support for his kids, who are my
sure.
cousins.
All right.
And I'm sitting there at dinner, and one of my family members, another cousin, turns to me and he says, and I quote, this is an actual quote, you know, those Jews really stick together.
What was he referring to?
He was talking about how...
Was there like a Jewish funeral in
there
the
was a
home or something? Or was there a...
He was talking... It was some long story about how he used to drive a cab in the 70s. And that there would be like... There would be stores that he would go... He would deliver stuff to or pick people up from or something. And they would be supported by the community.
Yeah.
So I guess he was not saying something... He was saying something sort of supportive.
Right.
But the way he said it was just like... He literally turns me.
That's just pure.
And, you know, I've dated probably a half dozen Jewish girls.
Sure.
Or girls that were half Jewish.
Yeah.
You know, many Jewish women have lots of Jewish friends.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there going, you know, I grew up in Huntington Woods. But I didn't say anything. I just looked. I'm like, okay, whatever. That's great.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Literally turned to me and said, those Jews really stick
thanks
together.
Thanks for the info.
And it's true because they stick together. When Spielberg gets the trouble alarm.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, maybe I should check my emails before I go into this because I might have gotten this role. But so I get this.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe you
I get this.
Do
a quick check because I'm going to talk about this wonderful commercial I'm in. No, I'm not.
Why don't you call 610-552-0746? Is that what it is? 0-7?
Yeah, you know it by heart now.
And leave a message telling us which Jew you think controls the media.
Stop it. So I audition. I get a call from my agent, which is. I can barely say that without laughing. So my agent calls me and says, do I want to read for something on Friday? And I'm like, okay, you know, what is it? She goes, it's a lawyer commercial.
Uh-huh.
I watch enough daytime TV to see these people mm-hmm. who are, you know, in these lawyer commercials. And I go, those people have zero acting skill. This is right up my alley. I can't be worse than them, right?
There's a famous commercial in Detroit. We should find a link for this.
Yeah.
That is for an attorney, Carl Collins.
Yes.
And they have these people in the commercials, and they're like, Carl Collins got me money when I broke my ankle.
It's so like, literally.
Attorney Carl Collins.
Right, yeah.
He worked for me.
It's so bad.
Yeah, and it's like,
it's
and
so
the one lady says, Attorney Carl Collins, he is good.
And if you go on YouTube, because I did research and I wanted to see what lawyer commercials, the tone of them and that.
Yes.
And so I went on and I watched, and there's tons of bad lawyer commercials that people.
A lot of ambulance chasers.
Yeah.
These,
so I go on, and this is a lawyer that you would know in Detroit. I'm not going to say which lawyer, but it's a lawyer. If you're in Detroit, it would be a lawyer you wouldn't know.
Is it a lawyer that
I'm not,
comedians
I'm
do
I'm
bits
not,
about?
I'm
no,
not,
no, no,
no,
no,
no.
I'm not going to say.
I'm not getting into it.
But
I'll tell you off the air.
I'm just saying.
I'll tell you off.
Would local comics have bits in their act?
I don't know
about these commercials.
Let me just say, I don't know. That should answer your question. So anyway,
yeah.
So anyway, so I read for this thing, and it's like I was injured, and
mm-hmm.
I called the attorney. The attorney helps me out. That's pretty much the thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine. You know, I do that. And I
attorney
read it,
Hiram Finkelstein.
I
he is good.
So I'm reading this at home, and I'm going over and I memorize it, and I get to the audition. It's in the agent. Because I was telling you about an earlier audition I did, and the casting agent was not the nicest person. But
shocker.
This is in the, but this was actually, I was reading for my agent. I wasn't even going to a casting house. I was going to my own agency to read on video. And I said, okay, this is cool. So I get there, and I sit in there, go, and there, I walk into the room, and there's a chair like the one I'm sitting in now. People don't see. This is a standard issue office chair. Right? You would call this an office chair. So I go, and they're like, okay, sit over there, and there's lights and stuff, and they say your name, and that's your chair. And they go, and I go, and they're like, well, I go sit down, and they go, hey, there's your wheelchair over there. Go sit down. Go, okay, you know, sit down. And then I read the thing, and the guy's, you have to be sadder. He's like, remember, you're in a wheelchair. I go, what? I'm in a wheel? Like, I didn't realize. Like, I thought that was just a crack because it was an office chair on wheels. That apparently I, for whatever reason, had that, you know, paralyzed from the waist down physique they were looking for or something. And now I realize that I've already figured out. But you know what I mean? I've already figured out how I'm going to read this commercial. And then they tell me that I'm actually in a wheelchair.
Well, those bastards.
And I go, well, you know. And so I probably didn't do it sad enough for them. And I think I will be spared the indignity of being a guy in a wheelchair on a television commercial.
Is that one of those things where you
kind of... I think I'm kind of okay with that.
You kind of don't want to get it?
Yeah, I'm kind of okay with that.
Because then you're going to be the wheelchair guy for the rest of your life?
Right, or, you know, friends from high school are going to not know that it's just some stupid ad, and it's going to be like, oh, man, Joel really fucked himself. Oh, man, I'm so bad for that guy. You know, it's like, no, look, I can walk. So, you know, yeah, we're going to see that commercial, and, yeah, it's going to be... Because, you know, on the day, you know, you'd be really be in a wheelchair. Like, you would have to go to the set and be in, like, it's, you know, maybe I'm better off not getting that.
Nope.
Maybe I'm better off not being that guy. So I'm happy.
That'll work. That'll.
But I feel somewhat insulted that, like, here's a guy who can't. Here's a guy who's clearly immobile.
Well, you know,
Joel, you look like a guy who hasn't been active in any way.
Oh God,
Joel, look how fat you are. When were you in a car accident? I actually wasn't. I just let myself go.
Look at those flabby legs. There's no way those move on their own, right?
That's it.
So clearly,
this is built by Xbox. This body. There's no car accident.
Maybe it's time for a Kinect.
This is the...
Maybe you need to get a Kinect.
I have the podcaster's physique is what I call it.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the svelte cut structure. I have the cut musculature of a film critic.
Yeah, you have the sinewy swimmer's build of a movie critic.
I do actually have muscle, but it's underneath a layer of goo.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Corey's having Raisinets for lunch 3 times a week, and
that's the other thing. I don't like eat. People are always like, "Do you eat the popcorn? Do you get popcorn all the time?"
No,
they give you popcorn.
They give it to you,
And I will have it sometimes, but there's no way you could eat popcorn all the time.
Right, you can't. Yeah. I worked in the movie theater, and I couldn't eat the popcorn all the time. Terrible.
Oh God!
All right, so what else we got to talk about? Because I'm not going to be in that commercial thing.
No,
God.
The Super Bowl was lame.
We've done a 90 minutes, so if you want to wrap it
the
up,
the locally, this is going to get a lot of play, I think, on political coverage. And
right,
I'm sure Rachel Maddow will probably get word of it soon.
Outraged.
Well, it's you know, now I obviously don't support this guy politically. He's a Republican, but you should be outraged if you did support if you were a Republican. Because this guy's ad was so dumb.
Yeah, tell everybody who the guy is, because I don't even know.
Pete Hoekstra, and he used to be a congressman.
What is he running? I don't even know what
he's running for. Senate.
State Senate or?
No, Senate. He's running against Debbie Stabenow.
Okay, so Debbie Stabenow is one of our senators representing the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So this is a national office in a sense.
Right. So her seat is up this year, and he's running against her. And he ran for governor and bombed out there.
Okay.
His ad, let's hear if we can.
I don't know if that's going to register. We have to turn your mic up, so.
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Spendenow. Debbie spends so much
pause it for a second.
You borrow more and more from us.
I think people
your economy get very weak.
She's in, this is like a Chinese girl in a rice paddy, allegedly Chinese girl. Well, they look like they found her on the campus of U of M or something. Yeah. It hardly looks, yeah. She hardly looks Asian, but, and she's doing this horrible Charlie Chan accent. Go ahead and play the rest of it.
Ours get very good. We take your jobs. Thank you, Debbie Spend It Now.
I think this race for U.S. Senate is between Debbie Spend It Now and Pete Spend It Not. I'm Pete Spend It Not, and I approve this message.
Yeah, that's a, they have this girl who really looks, it's really horribly,
it's
horribly.
The worst. Oh.
So I guess the idea is that China's doing well.
China's taking all our money.
Because Debbie Stabenow is giving all our money to China. But meanwhile, they didn't even get like the iPod factory or somewhere where the money's really going. They instead got a girl on a donkey.
It looks like
it looks bad.
Like they went down to Monroe or like Lunar Pier somewhere down there where there's marshland.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of in Michigan, you know, we have a lot of lakes.
Yeah.
So there are some marshy bits.
Well, it's like a drainage ditch or something.
Yeah.
And then there's, yeah.
There's some low-lying parts of the state right. where there's a little bit of marshland. Looks like they found that. They found a lake. They found a side of the road where there was some wet grass. And they rode this girl on a bike. And they're playing the ping pong, ding dong, ding dong.
Ding, 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 ding. Me no Reiki, Debbie Stendon now. You know?
I don't want to say it's, you know, it's clearly, it's not the big, it's not like California or something. It's not like New York City. But there are Asian voters in Michigan. There's an Asian population in Michigan.
Small, but it's
not
there.
Huge, but it's there.
Yeah, it's 3%.
So you pretty much just wiped that right. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to.
But I mean, is
there. You're just anybody.
But, you know,
Chinese is
here's
not
the thing.
Vote for it.
Here's the thing with the ad that's so bad. It's not even that the point of the ad is bad. You could say, hey, Debbie Stabenow is sending our jobs to China. And maybe,
it's the execution.
And maybe you have a valid point with that, or maybe you don't, but that's your opinion. You want people to vote on
right.
that premise.
It's the education.
But why go ahead and like insult an entire race of people?
You know,
that's
it's
like the old thing. Like, we're all, you know what? If we don't invite, if we don't elect Hostra, we're all going to be speaking Chinese.
Right.
You know, like, why not put that guy
He could have done a bit where he goes, you know, this toilet seat was built in China, and we used to build toilet seats here in America. But, you know, he could have even done that ad, right?
Right, yeah. He could have done,
You know.
He could have made the same point in
a non-racist
way.
He could have made the same point in a way. Now, you could also still probably argue with the point.
Yeah.
But at this point, you don't care what he's saying. It's that he's got, you're right. They picked up a girl from the biology lab at U of
M. It really looks like
and
that.
And they paid her, you know, they're like, here's $175. Yeah. Why don't you just?
Is she wearing a big giant hat like
she's
Mortal
got a cool,
Kombat?
She's got a cool hat.
She,
she's got like a big rice hat, like she's Charlie. She's gonna have. They might as well. Yeah. They might as well given her a cricket in a cage.
Yeah.
And put her on a water buffalo.
What?
Just
could they, could they not license Apocalypse Now footage for the ad? Could you not get the? I mean, why?
Yeah, she should have had a bag full of carryout, the little white cartons and chopsticks,
riding a bicycle.
Well, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I guess he did the math and went, well, man, we don't have enough Chinese in this state to matter. They're not going to vote for me anyway. Screw it. You know, like if he'd run an ad that was like, you know, a guy in a poncho and a sombrero, you know, going. Hey, we took your jobs.
Well, that's kind of what they did.
Debbie Stabby now spent all our money.
NAFTA, they were kind of doing that stuff in NAFTA.
But that would have been, I mean, it's just, you just go, are you seriously, you're seriously
and,
running
and he ran it during some, at some point during Super Bowl.
He
I
ran
didn't
it,
see it,
I
but,
think, before the Super
Bowl. Yeah, probably he ran it in pregame or something, but it was no good.
It was amazing. You just startled. You just went, wow. And you get dumb campaign ads all the time, but
you
this one,
it's
really,
just, it's
staggeringly dumb.
You can't. It's just
like,
it's,
like campaign ending before it starts.
Well,
kind of
it's
bad.
You know, I get the point he's trying to make. You're just making it in the dumbest,
dumb way.
All right. Speaking of dumb politics stuff, Trump, Trump was tickling our balls last week about who he's going to endorse for the Republicans, and then. But here's the great thing about that story is like the New York Times. Actually got rooked into saying that he was endorsing Gingrich. And then Trump, you know, pulled, you know, a fast one on everyone and endorsed Romney, which was like, you know, thanks, Captain Obvious. You're endorsing Romney now. Way to go out on a limb there, pal.
What a hump.
I mean, what is he like, you know?
Okay. All right. Who's the villain? Who should have the most egg on their face? Okay.
Right.
Trump. For continuing the charade of pretending that he's involved in politics.
No, it's
the networks who stopped everything.
They did for the
They cut in literally like CNN and MSNBC. I'm sure Fox cut in to their programming. We're like, we're waiting for Trump now.
We're waiting for a statement.
This was like,
Trump.
Was this like Friday afternoon or something?
It was something. It was some day, but they teased it like for 24 hours. Like
they pitched the whole day.
Trump is going to be in Nevada to make a statement about who's going to be.
I guess it was before the Nevada caucus, right? The Nevada.
Yeah, and it was just like teasing this thing, and you're just like, okay. And then I'm thinking, okay, as a guy, I'm like, okay, now here's what he can do. He can endorse Gingrich, and Gingrich could win, and Trump's a hero. And then I go, Gingrich has about as much chance of winning as I do.
Right.
So you, if you're going to do anything but endorse Romney, you're the biggest moron ever.
Right, right.
And so then he goes out and endorses Romney and like acts like now he's the reason Romney wins or something. It's amazing.
Yeah, and here's the best
part. It's baffling.
Romney shows up.
Right. Yeah.
And why didn't Romney like, show up?
Romney's like, oh, of course.
Well, I love. Thanks, Donald.
Yeah, thanks, Don. I'll take your endorsement.
Let me ask you this. Just, would Donald Trump, he could have endorsed Snoopy or Voltron.
Yeah.
He could have endorsed, I endorse Voltron.
Right.
And it wouldn't have made a damn.
Okay, but he also.
What? Is he unlocking his delegates to release? I'm giving you my delegates,
he
Gingrich.
He could have endorsed a guy in December, too.
Right.
When, or whenever it didn't look. I mean, look, we've said, and even on this show, for over a year, like it's probably going to be Romney. Like it just seemed like when Chris Christie didn't want to run and Giuliani wasn't going to run, and these guys, it became more and more obvious that Romney was going to be the guy. And you and I, who aren't paid political strategists or journalists that cover this for a living, realized that all these guys like Herman Cain were bozos, and that Romney was going to win. We've all known this.
Maybe I should be a political journalist.
No, because you become stupid.
I'd get nauseous.
You'd become stupid.
But I remember having a conversation in 2008 when somebody said to me, Fred Thompson. Look at that, Fred Thompson. I went, there's no chance Fred Thompson's doing anything.
But
it's these guys are no chance.
There are guys who have no chance, but they're also like, you know they have no chance when they come out and they lose something.
Right.
With like zero, you know, when they get 0% of Iowa, you just go, okay, I think that's enough. You know, like Gingrich, it's enough.
It's not enough.
And then he goes, no, I'm going to keep running.
Well,
and
he's
he
like,
won.
He's like, I've won one state.
Right.
There's another 40 to go.
But how many other states border your home state? Zero.
Right.
You got the state that borders your home state. You won that. Okay, but that's what happens. Right. You're not winning anything.
And isn't he not even? Georgia. He's from Georgia.
He's from Georgia, and he won South Carolina. And if you've been to Georgia and South Carolina, they're the same goddamn thing.
I think in Georgia and South Carolina that Pete Hoekstra ad would be very successful.
It might be, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just like so like you know, Trump endorsing Romney in Nevada is like, you know, Trump going, well, you know, I think the Giants are the best team in the NFL, and I swear, put my name on that.
I like peanuts.
Right.
And I'm gonna support peanuts.
Is there any? Yeah, right.
They one of my favorite legumes. What a load.
I think the dogs are the best pet.
Right.
Followed closely by cats. And I'm gonna stick my neck out.
It's controversial.
Yeah.
It's very controversial, but I'm coming down on the side of dogs.
I think that.
I enjoy in the puppy bowl. I'm picking Mr. Skittles in the puppy bowl. He is the number one dog.
I want everyone to know that I fully endorse the VHS format and screw that Betamax. I mean, like, what kind of a jerk? Like,
Did he pick Blu-ray over HD?
I don't know what he picks. I don't know what. But he just like it's such a dumb statement. It's ridiculous.
Who are the bozos that go? Okay, what baffles me is here is a guy who has less than zero. Actual political following. It's not like his endorsement means diddly shit poo to anyone who's actually voting.
Yeah, well, because you have that theory that there's people at home who don't know what to do. There's literally people who are baffled.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're clueless. They haven't, and they're waiting for Trump to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
There's the theory that there's people at home that are like that.
Okay.
That without Trump's guidance, they couldn't decide between
I guess the problem
Santorum, Gingrich, and Romney.
People always wanted like Billy Graham's endorsement, right? Because Billy Graham, although Billy Graham didn't really endorse so much.
I don't know if he endorsed.
They all kissed his ass, though, didn't they?
I think so.
I mean, every president had Billy Graham show up.
Obama's had Billy Graham show up.
Yeah, they all do because he represents a following of, you know, actual.
Well, they all kicked the kissed the Pope's ass too and stuff. So
and Billy Graham was the non-controversial evangelist. All the other evangelists were so. Such obvious money pinching little, you know, they all had
their money grubbing shysters
like Falwell, who had their fucking fingers out getting the, you know, they were either banging whores or, you know, stealing cash out of the treasury. So Jimmy Graham was the safe religious pick. But Trump represents no constituency.
Yeah, I don't know what he, right? I don't know what he thinks people are doing.
And
I mean, there are people who literally.
Right.
Need the guidance of a New York real estate mogul to help them decide who they're going to vote for. It's and baffling to me.
Not so much anymore, but maybe it used to be when he wasn't running himself.
Yeah,
the Democrats would want Jesse Jackson.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But you could almost say Jesse Jackson had some kind of role in the community. Well, Trump has nothing,
and I also
no
see,
one cares about it.
And I also see when you're in a like. If it was a presidential, if it was actually the presidential election where you were deciding between the Democrat and the Republican, maybe there you hold some sway in that case.
Mm-hmm.
But to basically take the guy who's leading your party's nominee that you're a guy in your party.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Trump's part of the Republican Party in some official way, which he isn't.
Yeah.
But let's say he was, and he's essentially rubber stamping.
Uh-huh.
The guy that's in his party. I mean, that's like not saying anything.
You know what would have just as much impact right now?
Right.
If Ed Lover and Dr. Dre came out and endorsed Obama.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Well, it's like...
Right? Because guess what? He's already going to be the presidential candidate.
You know, Tom Coughlin said Eli Manning's the quarterback next year on the Giants. I mean, it's like, well, of course. I mean, like, what are you going to do?
It's the dumbest thing.
Like, what was he going to do?
Trump is amazing at getting publicity for his stupid show.
It's
that's all this is.
The show is coming on in 2 weeks.
That is all just a way to get publicity for the goddamn stupid. And I'm going to watch the stupid Celebrity Apprentice. I know you are not going to do it. And God, I wish I wasn't. And if
I told you last year I wasn't going to do it. And then you kind of talked me into watching it once. And I watched it, and I just found that my biggest problem with that show is that they do a two-hour show, and there's not enough material for 2 hours.
45 minutes of it is Trump talking.
And then a lot of it is just the guy standing around and, like, making small talk, and it's just like, it's not my problem, I guess, with the show is that it's just it's the premise of it is just flawed to me. There's not much of a game there, you know? Mm. Like, I watched the guys build RVs. And who could present the nicer RV? That was the one I watched, and I went like, I don't need to watch this. Nothing's happening. There's no objective. Yeah, I mean, you could tell whose RV was better at the end, but who cares whose RV is better?
I like what I like on that show. Sometimes they'll do fundraiser challenges, and who cares? Because that just goes, who's got a bigger Rolodex and can call in? Like, what's his name? The guy from... John Rich,
right,
from Big and Rich.
Sure,
he was a monster at fundraising because he'd go, "Hey, Reba McEntire, can you cut me off?"
The country people all love each other.
Reba, can you write me a check for $30K? And she'd go, "Oh, sure, honey," or you know, or Trace Adkins or somebody would show up and go, "We got some money for you," because the hillbillies just love to fucking.
Those guys
money.
Are all fat. By the way, I gotta make a country single.
Yeah,
because apparently, if you're in country music for about 3 months, you have $1 billion. Like, they give you, like, this guy's got three giant homes, one in Nashville, one in Los Angeles, and one in the Hamptons, and you're like, you've got one country record.
If you make white people in the South records like, about themselves, they pour every dollar they have.
I mean, it's like you have, you know?
Right.
Right. I mean, like...
Now, see, we're dumb and we go, let's make comedy that will appeal to people on a broad basis. No, you got to micro-target an audience. Yeah. Micro-target an audience... Take every nickel that they. Spike Lee is rich, because
he makes
movies for black people.
For an audience.
Okay, Tyler Perry is richer.
Tyler Perry's richer than
Spike Lee. At least tries to make good movies.
Yeah, you're right about that.
He attempts to make good movies. Tyler Perry. I could piss in a jug right now, and the script would be better if I pulled it out of a piece of paper.
You're right about that, but it is
Tyler Perry just goes. I'm making a movie for black people, and every black person will give me a dollar.
Come see,
And that's it.
That's it. And then they feel like, yeah, I don't know.
Trump.
But no
what
one.
What a load.
And people can't walk out of Walmart without the Lady Antebellum CD. There's something about it. They got to get it. And those people
ridiculous.
Got bank.
It's ridiculous.
You're right about that. Anyway, but I'm not watching Apprentice. I don't care about that. I mean,
not even for your boy Penn Jillette.
I like Penn Jillette. I like Adam Carolla. I secretly think the two of those guys, when the cameras are off, go, this is the dumbest goddamn thing ever.
Carolla's been bitching on his podcast about it.
I don't know why. But see, Carolla, here's the thing. He's plugging his show. Ultimately, anything Carolla does now is trying to get people to listen to his podcast. Mm-hmm. And not only do you have to listen, like if you spend, I don't know how he does it exactly, but there's a way to spend money and you get something, right? Is there an app you buy? Or is he strictly ads?
He might.
Is there some
ads.
Sort of premium? Premium.
There might app? Be. I've
is
never.
Is there an iPhone
never,
app or something? Because that's how Mark Maron does. He'll say.
I've never paid for.
You know, for $9, you can get all the Mark Maron WTFs from back in the day or whatever.
Maron does a system where he gives you the last month and a half
sure.
for free.
Yes.
But if you want the archives. You got to pay for it.
You got to pay for the archives, and that's fine. And Joel Radio gives you all the archives for free, but you know right. it's you know, I tried selling them for a nickel, and I made about 15 cents. So now we're back. No, I've always our archives.
That's
are
it.
Free.
Firewall.
That's it. Firewall.
The paywall is going up.
Paywall is going up at Joel Radio. That's right. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I would think Carolla. That's what he's doing. But what is Penn really promoting?
Penn has a book out.
He has a book out, but it's been out for like 6 months. I read it. It was good.
Penn is in the celebrity business.
I guess.
He's one of those guys that
he just wants to be on everything.
He's got it. Look, he's got shows in Vegas.
I know he did do a... Well, yeah, because Penn and Teller work Vegas. They have a permanent theater at the Rio.
Right.
But they don't run every... They run like 3 months on and then 1 month off or something. They do some...
That's when you're always in the business of pitching something.
I guess.
What's Arsenio pitching?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's okay. So people do that. The
maybe Penn's theory is like, hey, I do the show in Vegas, and while it sells out and it makes me tons of money, people don't see me because I'm in Vegas in this little theater, and maybe I got to go
now,
do
now, some
media
guys are fine with that.
Yeah.
Ray Stevens sat in Branson for 20 years and made a fortune
exactly, yeah.
doing the streak
right.
and the squirrel that
yeah,
ran
and
up
he's still
to
there,
Chef Lady's dress.
Is he dead now, Ray Stevens?
I don't know. He did A-Rab the A-Rab, right? Ray Stevens sat with his stupid novelty songs in Branson, and no one outside of Branson knew who he was, and he sat there for 20 years
well,
and did those.
Isn't Yakov? Isn't that Yakov Smirnoff?
Yakov Smirnoff in Branson, yeah.
No, Ray, he's still alive.
In Branson, the casino pays you.
Well, he had a subscription-based website called Ray Stevens Backstage that ran for 2 years. What is he on about?
You know what though? That's a case of micro targeting. Ray Stevens decided I have a fan base.
Oh, you know what he does now? I know what he does. Yeah. I don't know if he's in Branson or not, but now he makes videos and songs about Obama.
Oh.
And that's who he is.
So you,
believe it or not, he's not pro Obama.
He went a little are you telling me the author of Ahab the Arab is not culturally sensitive or
right, that's what I mean. Yeah, he's
I think that's kind of.
I'm guessing he's still in Branson.
Did what about the guy that used to do PBS with the piano, Mark?
Mark Russell.
Is he dead?
I don't know.
What happened to Mark Russell?
The Capitol Steps. Where are they? Yeah. Are there? But I think Mark Russell was. I think he didn't care. Right.
I thought he made fun of everybody. Right.
I don't think he had a side, but I would say it was probably a little. Mark Russell. Mark Russell's still alive.
Oh, wow. You just haven't seen him in forever.
Yeah.
He might have had a stroke.
Oh, no. In 2010, Mark Russell announced his retirement from public performances.
Stroke.
And made his last public performance July 2010. He continues to write political humor for various venues.
Yeah, that's good.
He's gone. But I'm looking at where Ray Stevens...
Now we've gone down... Remember when we Ray J. Johnson, Ray Saluga.
First of all,
what?
I don't know if
Bill
he still
Saluga
has.
Episode?
Okay. Ray Stevens is appearing at the Peabody Auditorium in Daytona Beach, Florida, the Lakeland Center in Lakeland, Florida, the King Center in Melbourne, Florida. This is the best. The Blue Gate Theater in Shipshawana, Indiana, and the New Barn in Renfro. Now, this is.
Kentucky?
In Renfro, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I don't know when. I don't know if these are 2010 dates because he has two February dates, three February dates, and then two September dates.
Can I tell you?
I don't know where you see Ray.
I have been to Renfro, Kentucky.
Yeah,
multiple times.
Ray has an op-ed piece on the Fox News website.
Oh
so,
my God!
You know what he's up
all right.
To.
So he went conservative.
He's conservative.
But you know what? That's why. But he micro-targeted an audience.
Yeah.
So that's like what Dennis Miller does now. I'd say the vast majority of people don't know that Dennis Miller's around.
He's performing at the Andy Williams Theater in Branson in October for 6 nights. So apparently he doesn't have his own theater anymore. But
but Ray Stevens decided he had an audience.
Yes.
He was going to stop appealing to a broader audience.
Right, yeah.
Right, it's like Tyler Perry.
Yeah, okay.
Tyler Perry doesn't need white people.
Yeah,
he
does.
He's got his audience. So that's what you got to do is find your audience, stick with it. Trump, your audience is douchebags. I don't know who your audience is.
Go. You know, I think there's people who are poor, and if they were rich, they would be like Trump. I think that's the theory. I think in there's a mindset
that's
a rich guy I can agree with
that
or something.
Disgusting like, gold-plated toilet, ostentatious.
Yeah.
I have a yacht inside my yacht. I have a tiny yacht inside my yacht.
He's right.
What I take a helicopter, land it on my yacht.
Right, yeah.
And then... Right. Yeah, but of course, actually, Trump not as rich as he likes you to believe.
He's not as rich as he likes to make you believe, but he's a wealthy guy.
No,
I'd
take half of Trump's kids' money.
Right.
I'd take a third of Don, the third son. I'm going to nominate my third son, Don,
Trump makes
Secretary of Defense.
Most of his money from that show.
Yes.
That's what I hear. I mean, that Trump is.
He licenses his name to real estate properties.
Right.
He doesn't actually own.
Right. So if you go to the Trump Hotel,
right.
He doesn't own it, but it's just called the Trump Hotel because
he licensed it.
Trump licensed it. Yeah.
He does own some real estate properties, but
he owns that building in New York, isn't that? I mean, that's got to be worth something.
But it's his money's in real estate. It's not like he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Who he pitches a bigger image than what he really is.
Right.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I've always heard that he's not. He doesn't have cash.
Right.
Like Mark Cuban always says that he has more cash than Trump.
He's liquid.
When I've heard Cuban talk, because Cuban
of course,
got
Mark Cuban's
a bunch
out
of money.
Doing Shark Tank.
Well, whatever. But Cuban.
Why is that?
Well, but Cuban was selling Dell computers or whatever. Wasn't that what Cuban? No, Cuban sold a website. That's how
he
Cuban
had
got rich.
Software or something.
He sold broadcast.com. That's how Mark Cuban got rich. He decided that people would want to watch videos on the internet.
And where's broadcast.com right now?
He sold it.
Yeah. Cuban is good.
But he sold it to Yahoo or somebody.
You know what Cuban's
good
at doing?
Cuban's
good at getting into stuff before it's popular.
Yeah.
Doing nothing with it. And then.
Collecting the check.
Right.
Well, that's good for him.
He had HDNet before anybody else had HD.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Then everybody got HD and no one could care what
HDNet
was.
And then he just sold half of it to AEG.
To Ryan Seacrest.
Well, AEG, but Ryan is a partner.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's AEG and then. Ryan is also a part of it. But
anyway.
So Trump has money.
Sorry, Trump has put me to sleep.
Somebody likes Trump, but not us. Okay. Let's get out of here. Okay, a couple quick things movie-wise. You know, we did our best movies the last show.
Oh, geez, movies.
I know, movies. I saw some 2011 movies that are out. Let me just give a couple recommendations, and then you can go. I saw Drive, which is real good. If you're looking for something, it reminded me a lot of an old Michael Mann movie.
There's a movie called Thief by Michael Mann starring James Caan.
Very much like Drive.
From about, 1981?
83, probably. Yeah. Something like that, 82. Thief was a lot like that.
I sat there and went, this is Thief. The whole time, I really did. And,
it is very similar. I haven't seen Thief in like 15 years. But
it really
I've
is Thief.
Thief.
But sometimes you'll see a movie like that in my business.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
And I'll pick up on that. A lot of people won't. And you'll go... Oh, I know where he's.
Yeah, but he deliberately made it 80s. You know what I mean? It's not like he was trying to hide it. So
the credits are in hot pink cursive.
it's very Miami Vice, which is also a Michael Mann thing.
It looks like GTA Grand Theft Miami Beach or whatever that was.
Yeah, Vice City. Yeah. So it's a cool movie, and if you want something that's a little different and you don't mind something a little violent,
Drive
is real good.
I have found that to be the most polarizing movie.
Yeah.
Some people love the ground that it walks on.
I'm sure there's old ladies that didn't like it, but... Yeah.
I liked it overall. It's a good movie.
If you can listen to us for 90 minutes, you'll be fine with Drive. You'll be all right.
I wasn't thrilled with the ending. That's what kept me from maybe giving it unreserved.
Whatever. I liked it. I made my top 15, and it wouldn't have made my top 15 had I seen it last week, but it's worth seeing, and I also thought Beginners is real good.
Yeah, Beginners
is good. Stylistically... I think Beginners is really great. The story, a little slow at times, but Beginners is a real... If you like to watch something that's a little arty,
mm-hmm.
again, drives a little arty too.
You
Beginners
know,
is really
what I liked about Beginners. It wasn't really plot driven.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It's one of those movies that's got a concept.
It's a meditation.
It's got an idea yeah. in that it's Ewan McGregor's dad, Christopher Plummer, who got nominated for the Oscar.
Yeah,
like comes out after his mother dies yeah. and he's in his 70s.
But he also, and I'm not ruining for anybody, yeah. he's dead.
Right.
And so the movie is sort of told in flashback. There's current day where Ewan McGregor without his dad, and then Ewan McGregor remembers his dad.
It's got
and
a structure.
His mom.
It's got a complicated structure.
But it's cool.
I loved it a lot.
I like Beginners a lot.
Was that on my list?
No.
I thought maybe it would just miss my 10 list.
Maybe it did. I have your list here.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think it was in your top 15.
All right, well, then it was about my 12.
Yeah, because we talked about it, and I asked you if because I hadn't seen it as when we did that show.
Yeah.
So I saw that, and Winnie the Pooh was good. So Winnie the Pooh that came out last year was actually pretty good. So if you like, I liked those as a kid.
Yeah, some kid movies are all right.
And it got a good review, I read, on the Blu-ray website that I read. And they said the Winnie Pooh, because the Blu-ray was amazing. It looked like a fucking picture book.
Well, then there you
on
go.
Your TV. So if
speaking
you like
of a
that
picture book,
hand-drawn
you got
animation.
Ray Stevens staring
yeah,
at him.
Yeah, I got Ray Stevens staring at him. Corey, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's see. Can we get to the Inn of the Mountain Gods Resort and Casino in Mescalero, New Mexico on October 13th? Because if we do...
Can you play us out with a little bit of Ray Stevens?
Corey,
is there any...
I don't know if I can play us out, but on October 26th, if you can get yourself to the Country Tonight Theater in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, you can take in
I've been to
a
Pigeon...
full...
I've been to Renfro, Kentucky, Renfro Valley, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I've been to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
I've done comedy in Shipshawana, Indiana.
Shipshawana, Indiana.
That is a... You know what that is? That is
Amish
a,
furniture.
It's an Amish place.
There you
yeah,
go.
And they have a couple yeah. magic theaters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Yeah, all right, let's get...
If you want to know obscure parts of the Midwest, come up. Can we get, really, a second of the streak?
I don't know where I would have to go to, like, YouTube.
The Arab. What would we get? What can we get for Ray Stevens?
I'll get you some Ray Stevens.
Well, his big song was... I'd like to teach the world. No, what was it? What was the Ray Stevens catalog?
Oh, jeez, what was in the Ray Stevens? Jeez, I don't know, man.
Ray Stevens was a popular guy in the 70s.
In the
70s,
yeah.
The 80s.
He didn't do the CB song, did he? Was that him?
Convoy?
Yeah, he didn't do Convoy, but did he do like a CB novelty single?
By the way, you want to make money? get yourself a time machine.
Okay.
Go back to 1976.
Everything is beautiful in its own
Everything
way.
Everything is beautiful is his
that's,
big hit.
That's his big one.
Go back to 1976. Get yourself anything to do with the trucking and the the CB radio.
I'm trying to read his thing and Everything is beautiful in its own way. The streak. Jeez, I'm trying to think. Shriners Convention, was that something? The Honky Tonk Waltz was one of his singles. God, this guy's got so many singles. I Saw Elvis in a UFO. Corey, can you forget about Surfing USSR?
Oh, God.
Or Would Jesus Wear a Rolex?
One of his big hits, Guitarzan. Do you remember that? That's a good one.
It's funny, I typed in Ahab the Arab, and all I got is a bunch of covers of it. So maybe I can...
You know how many albums this freak has?
I think this is Ahab the Arab, so...
One of his recent hits included Osama Yo Mama, United We Stand.
Now let me tell you about Ahab.
There he
is. Arab, the Sheikh of the Burning Sands. Emeralds and a rubies, just a drip.
Well, that's going to sum it up for us. Good night, everybody.
We'll just go out on this, all right? Thank you for listening to Joel Ray. No need for the real ending music.
No need.
Nothing better than this.
No need to listen to this 2-hour orgy bullshit. Go, Ray. Get it.
Come on, do it, Ray. All right, thank you for listening to Joel Radio. Send us an email. Email at CoreyJoelRadio.com or send us a link. You can send a message from the front page of JoelRadio.net. Tell us, Ted,
what assholes we are.
610-552-0746. We'll catch you next time. Enjoy some more Ray Stevens as we go, everybody. Good night.
Behind the salt and the black. And you could hear him talk to his camel as he rode out across the dunes. And his voice would cut through the still night desert air. And he said...